United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Let's go! You thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It's 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on WSOM. And Jeff and Ben and I are in the studio, and we're trying to get prepared for breakfast because we were not prepared walking in the door. And so you know what? While I'm doing that, guess what you get to hear?
I'm happy.
How did you know? Surprise?
Well,
it's a wild guess.
I've been working on my telekinesis properties.
It's St. Patrick's Day today.
Yes, it is. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Did you know he was black?
No, he was Italian.
He was a black Italian.
No, he was Italian.
Right, a black Italian.
But he was black. He was a Mormon.
I keep on telling you all that. They won't listen to me. I'm trying to get people to understand that.
Well, you know, do you think the Irish would be more nice to us people in America?
They are.
Us Italians in America. I mean, St. Patrick went and got rid of all the snakes in Ireland.
I got a question for you.
They can't get rid of the one in the White House?
Hey, not all right. They're happy-go-lucky. First thing in the morning, don't start. Oh. Hey, listen, I got a question for you.
What?
I got a question about race.
About race?
Yes.
I did.
No.
No, I'm getting ready to say
No. Race and different races and cultures in America.
But we're not supposed to talk about that stuff.
This is a serious question. This is really serious.
Go ahead.
What's up with white people standing out in the cold yesterday for a parade? Explain that to me.
Like I said, the Irish. I don't, you know, I'm Italian.
Jeff, what's up with that?
I have no idea.
Do you know how cold it was yesterday to go stand outside and watch people march down the street and hope to get some candy?
But if you're from a temperate, your culture is temperateness, you don't have a problem with that.
Yeah,
I do.
No. See, your culture, you're from places that are cold. But you live in America, and standing outside in the cold to watch people march down the street. Jeff, you were there, weren't you? You got your beads on. Jeff.
My name is
Jeff
O'Greeny.
I'm Jeff O'Greeny.
Jeff, you stood outside in the cold yesterday to get some beads.
Never do I stand outside in the cold.
Jeff, you stood outside in the cold.
I'm losing it.
Jeff, you stood outside in the cold. Jeff stood outside in the cold yesterday.
There's no way.
I thought it was a
white thing.
I
don't
like
rain.
That ain't got nothing to do with it. Jeff was outside in the cold watching the parade, wasn't he? Look.
He's got
evidence on.
Unless he was in New Orleans, I don't, you know.
No, because ain't nobody giving beads to show up for chest. Good morning, everybody. It's 9 minutes after. It looks like 18 degrees outside right now. It's going to be 43 degrees today and 27 degrees tonight. Hey, like I got weather up on the channel.
Yes.
Isn't that pretty cool?
That's pretty cool.
How long it's going to last, because, you know, you never know with me. But, you know, right now. It says it's going to be like 43 and it's going to be mostly sunny today.
It's beautiful outside if it wasn't for the cold temperatures.
Mm-hmm. How did you know I was going to play happy?
I just, you know, like I said, I've been working on my telekinesis properties. And
and tonight, if you listen to the voice, somebody's going to sing the song.
Really? Again?
Again?
Yeah, somebody's singing already.
Oh, they did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, probably so, you know. Maybe I was watching the reruns.
Well, yeah, I watched the reruns Sunday. Yesterday.
It's an effective song for marketing too. I mean, P Diddy and Fiat and
Fiat. Oh, Fiat, the car.
Yeah.
I thought you were naming somebody Fiat.
No,
that's not a Fiat currency.
No.
That's Well, yeah.
Isn't the word Fiat?
What is it? You got me just because you asked.
Oh, I got you because I asked.
Yeah, because it just left my mind. Totally left my mind.
It's called fiat currency. There's a fiat car and a fiat currency.
Well,
but what is the definition? Okay, the definition of a fiat is money.
Well, you're dead
here. I'm trying to look at something. And the number is 347-945-5229. You know it is open mic today. And, Jeff, none of your mics are on, so if you really want to be heard, you got to turn them up. No.
Yeah.
No.
That's
they're all up.
Okay.
Oh, there he goes.
There. Because we couldn't hear you.
You're too far away.
He's up.
But I know he's up. I can't hear you.
Two is not up.
Sticks is out goofing off today.
No.
Diva said she was going to stop in and say hi.
That's what they. That's what I.
That was a rumor.
I thought on it. I forgot to call off sick.
Hey, Matt, how are you this morning?
I'm good. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all of you.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Are you a part of the Irish?
I'm very small part. I'm a Heinz 57, but I got a little bit of Irish, but not enough to go out and freeze my tail off. And I drink. But I ain't drinking in this cold.
That's a lot of alcohol to stand outside in the cold like that.
Yeah, I think I would have to drink enough. I would have to drink enough to have to pass out to stay in this cold. There's no way.
That's what they were doing.
No, they didn't pass out. They were just out there kicking it. And it wasn't even St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day is today.
Yeah, there's a lot of places serving. I think what breakfast with green eggs or something or dying the eggs, green beer,
green eggs and ham,
green
eggs
and ham.
Green eggs and ham?
Which has nothing to do with the Irish.
I thought green eggs and ham with Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, that is Dr. Seuss, but I think the Irish wanted that, too.
Green eggs? Well, but Chicago turns the river green? Turn the mic back up, Jeff.
I like talking in the background.
What is going on here with Jeff and the mic coming off?
Well, it's tough to get these levels adjusted.
No, it's not.
I'm crossing between.
You didn't turn the mic on.
There you go.
Ooh. Hi, Eric. Good morning.
Morning, everybody. How are you doing?
We're good. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm a day older today.
Happy birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And what did you get? Your birthday is the 17th of March?
That's right.
You were born on St. Pat's Day? I told you St. Pat was black. Okay. You don't understand.
We know he was a snake charmer.
I don't know nothing about that.
No snakes in Ireland. He got rid of them, or so they say.
Are they still gone? Hey, before we go too far, before we get too deep, what's going on, Mike or Matt? Tell me something good and funny. Don't tell me anything about the news. Give me something light and airy.
You're talking to a guy who hasn't discussed politics in over 2 weeks publicly, and you're asking me to come up with something other than politics? Have you looked at the news a lot? All right, hold on. Let me think of something here. I finally finished my bathroom, and I did it for about 20% of the cost that most people do it with what I did. I completely gutted it. It was usually about a $5,000 to $6,000 job. I did it for $1,200.
Can you leave out the commode?
You know what? I got to get off the air now and go do some more work in the bathroom. Forgot about that commode. Thanks for reminding me. That's the only good news I got.
Hmm.
I'm happy, though, and I figured out what that
no,
room,
no, no,
I
not.
Figured out. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Is your wife happy?
Yeah, actually, she, shockingly, is thrilled with the bathroom and immediately walked out, looked into the living room, and said, you know what, I don't like that color. So guess who's painting the living room next week?
You know, one thing leads to another, right?
In this house, it leads to another very quickly, yes, yeah.
Yes, I didn't know if you guys knew that one step leads to another.
Well, he's got a honey-do list.
Right, but
yeah.
Every time you do the list and you do the do on the list,
uh-huh.
It opens another
do
on the list.
You know, the solution is to get rid of the honey.
No.
And just keep the do
no,
list.
No, 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 no.
Because then it'll get done.
No.
No?
No. You always keep the honey.
I don't know.
That's why you guys have to. Listen, God told man that he was going to take them into the land of milk and honey.
Yeah, but
that was
sour.
It's not. That was the milk, but not the honey. See, you're the sour one. We're the honey. We're always sweet.
It said milk and honey, not milk and honey dew, okay?
That was light and airy. So that was a joke, I know.
Hold up, guys.
Hold up what?
Women are always sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why you guys don't understand that.
Okay.
Always sweet. Aren't we, Matt? If not, I'm going to call your wife. You better say yes. Eric, you too.
You've seen Michelle Obama and you've seen Michelle Obama and Nancy Pelosi, right? You might want to amend that statement. Oh wait, they may not be women.
And even my favorite, Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Hey, but right now they all agree on one thing.
They're on another list.
They all agree on one thing right now. You know what it is?
No.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz. You know, that the Democrats are in trouble in the midterms.
Oh, why is she agreeing to that?
Because it's the truth.
Yeah.
It's the truth, but you can't rely on that because I think that's part of a strategy they're using to get their side going,
campaign
funds rolling and the whole deal. I think they're just they're rolling the ball right now.
I mean, what is their slogan to raise money?
Racism? Trying to keep y'all from voting.
We need more money to bring down America? Is that their the Democratic?
Well, that's what they're doing. That has nothing to do with what they're doing.
What they're doing, I mean, if you look at what they're really doing, their message right now is to scare the crap out of people. And not be honest and not be truthful in what they do. And I mean, seriously, because right now if you look at what they're talking about when it comes to voter suppression here in the state of Ohio, I mean, I was reading an article yesterday, and they were saying, you know, you really need to get past that because you can't. Ohio has some of the most liberal voting laws in the country,
mm-hmm.
and for you to say that Ohio has suppressed the vote, you have really gone too far. You're really reaching.
But they're back at it again.
But what happened last year?
Well.
Wait a minute, hold on. I don't understand. The number's 347-945-5229. That is about 3 minutes before I go to break, but I need to know something. Why is it that there's only voter suppression in the presidential and the gubernatorial years? But when the years that really count, that deal with the county and the local, there's never any voter suppression, nor is there a get-out-the-vote campaign. They don't care if you get there. They don't care if you vote there. They don't care if you walk there. They don't care if you show an ID. They don't care if you just drop dead.
They don't need you.
Yeah, well, it has to do with local money, and who controls it. That's why they don't want you out the vote then, because they've got their core people that are going to do what they need to do to pass whatever they need to pass, and they have more control that way.
Did anybody see State Rep. Hagan on TV yesterday talking about medical marijuana? And he's going to. I didn't get to hear the rest of it. He said he has a new agenda now.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know. I just want to ask it.
To get his wife elected into office.
Well, we know that is. But my question
is... She's been a career politician, too, hasn't she?
No.
Yeah, really.
No, she married one.
She's never done nothing.
No.
But pal around with her husband from place to place.
Well, that is...
And I never even saw that.
Hey, that's hard work.
Well, she don't need to be running.
Why don't she need... No. It's her American right to run.
Of course it's her right to run.
It's not her right to be endorsed and win. But it's her right to run.
Nobody's trying to say
so
that.
So when you no longer control that seat in politics and government, you just have your wife run in your place, and when you have a majority control in the area of the vote, because it only goes one way over here, is that like Tammany Hall? Does that seem sort of...
I don't know what you call it. No, I know this is what you call American politics at its best. You see it all the time.
Well, no, this is not American politics.
What is it?
At its best. This is people trying to block other people from having any control over anything. And they do it so well, and I don't understand why the people that are getting blocked by these people always vote for them.
Because they love them.
I guess they do.
So I don't know what the problem is.
So I take it that comes down to the racist Democratic Party again.
It's more than racist.
Yeah, it is.
It's more than racist. This is more than race.
I know. It's money. It's all about green.
This is about the luck of the green.
Luck of the Irish.
Well, money, dinero, all about the Benjamin.
No, I don't think it is. I think it's just like what we're saying. I think it has to do with blocking black people. In the state of Ohio, tell me one statewide black official elected as a Democrat. In the county of Mahoning County, show me one black Democrat elected countywide. Give it to me, then I'll say it's not about race.
Everything is not about race.
I didn't say everything is about race.
One that the Democratic Party supported? Because the Republican Party supported
of course
a
they
mayor.
Did.
Right?
They sure did.
And he won.
A Democrat mayor.
He was independent at the time.
No.
They did not support him until he got in. And then they found out.
No, we said the Republicans.
The Democrats. Yeah, we're talking about the Republicans now.
They didn't support him either.
The Democrats did not support him.
Until their system and won, they didn't want to own him. But then after he was mayor, he's a great man. He's this,
concerned
that, and other.
Concerned about your health?
I'm going to take a break.
Confused about
right
the
back.
Amount of prescription drugs you are taking? Wondering which vitamins to take? Call Dr. Matt Mason, board-certified wellness physician as well as a chiropractor at Mason Wellness Center. Dr. Mason combines nutritional therapy, functional medicine, and chiropractic services to keep people healthy and get those of you that are ill feeling better faster. Mason Wellness Center is located on Layer Road in Warren, Ohio. To make an appointment or to receive additional info, call our office at 330-219-6450.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years' experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment. The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, I'm back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And today is the 17th of March, 2014. Oh, my goodness. Diva just walked in the building.
Hey, good to see you, Diva.
Oh, my. What are you saying, Diva?
Oh, nothing. Don't mind me.
She comes in making noise like we're not on the air.
What's up with that?
Hey, Matt, guess who's in the studio with us?
I just heard. Diva's in there. She needs to get on a mic, though. I can barely hear her.
Oh, that's good, because that means you didn't hear her purse jingling, and she sounded like Jeff coming in.
No comment.
Hey, it's going to be 42 degrees today in the Mahoning Valley, and I hope everybody is. Grab Jeff's stuff. Grab Jeff's headset. And the mic's there in front of you, and then you'll be set.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. He disappeared.
He does that.
Poof. She got all dressed up to come here, too.
Wait a second. Diva shows up and Jeff is gone? Geez.
I think he saw her coming.
Oh, my God.
I think he saw her coming and he bounced out.
Oh, my God.
I was saying the same thing on my way
here. Pull the mic to you, Diva.
I was saying the same thing on my way here. I was like, do I really want to go in the studio? They started already. He's starting in on the president.
Who? I didn't say
He's
anything.
He's starting in on the Democrats.
Yes.
When did I say anything about the president?
He started early this morning, Jamie.
Yes.
He did.
I'm like, geez, let me get warmed up.
What?
Where'd you put my coffee?
What coffee?
Right.
I'm going to beat somebody down.
Well, Jeff, I promise you, I never moved
you
in my chair.
You give me my coffee.
Did I move?
No.
I don't care whether you moved or not.
Jeff, did you take it with you when you left?
No.
Then we don't know where your coffee is. Look at Diva's feet. Maybe it's at her feet.
Did you put it on the floor there? There it is. See? You put it on the floor to
already
be safe.
Already meddling in stuff by the time.
See there.
What's going on?
The number is 347-945-5229.
Where's
the splitter at? It's inside the headset bag.
Oh.
I don't know where the headset bag is.
Right there. It's right down.
Jeez, oh, man.
Right by your
So seat. How you doing, Ms. Diva? And welcome home.
Thank you. Oh, my
God. I got to call you, brother.
Oh, man. Where's Steve at? Because I meant to tell Steve to come in today.
I almost forgot where I was. I almost forgot my way here. It's been so long since I've been on the south side.
What, you get lost on the
yes.
south side now? What's up with that?
I don't know. It's been so long since I've been on the south side. Normally, I'm on the north side when I come in.
So you get to the north side of Youngstown and you just stay there.
Yes. There's nothing to do here. Yeah.
What do you mean nothing to do?
Nothing to do in Youngstown.
That is not true.
In Youngstown, I may agree with her, but there are some.
No, downtown.
Yeah.
Downtown was burning up.
What
Saturday
they got going
night?
On downtown?
Yeah,
downtown is booming.
What they got going on downtown? Because before I left, they had nothing.
Then you need to take a ride. You know, you need to branch out and find out that there's Liquid Blue, there's Vernon's. What's the place next to Vernon's?
Something Burger Company now used to be the.
Are those blue?
We got the Chevy Center or the. Where's this?
Because if it's jazz and blues, I'm not into
no,
it.
Neither one.
What
are you looking for? Rock.
Oh, yeah,
because
she's a sellout. That's what
we're talking about.
I'm sorry. I do not listen to rock and roll.
So you're looking for
hip-hop
or what?
No.
What you looking for?
I don't normally go out to those type of places. Or, like, if there's an open poetry reading or something, I'll do that.
And that's not that much to do in Columbus either. It's a dumb trip.
Yes, there is.
What?
Oh, my gosh. I can go to Easton.
That's
so
it.
Many different
shopping
and restaurants.
Yeah, they've got poetry readings there.
Listen, if you really think, if you want to, don't compare Columbus to Youngstown, because Columbus is nothing but a Youngstown place with everybody in it from Youngstown. And as a matter of fact, it's just as boring as here. It's not worth.
No.
Unless you got a whole lot of money.
I'm going to just tell you like this. This is what got me. I drove through Indianapolis in the daytime.
And it was dead.
Dead? Are you crazy? That place was popping left and right, and I said, "You loser! What are you living in Ohio for?"
No.
Oh man, I was ready to pack up and move to Indianapolis.
No.
It's beautiful.
It is. I've driven through Indianapolis.
And this one mall I went to, it had every store in the world, I believe, in it.
Well,
every store.
I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
How much was the ice cream?
I didn't get the ice cream.
Oh.
No, we had the Cheesecake Factory.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
See, y'all don't have that here, do you?
No, it's
no,
too small.
We were supposed to get one, but it turned into a drugstore.
That's true.
No, it's very true.
That's true right there on the corner.
Yeah.
Some would say the Cheesecake Factory is like a drugstore.
But if you know,
you're going to need one after all that sweet.
Now, guys, if you want to know the truth about it, you got to know where to get Cheesecake Factory cheesecake here in Youngstown.
Yes.
Where?
TGI Fridays.
But I don't really
they
go
got
for
the flourless
cheesecake.
Uh-huh. Vanilla bean cheesecake.
That's good, but I don't know if that's
the only reason why I go to the place next door.
But I only go to Cheesecake Factory.
You guys haven't been by the
visit? Cheesecake.
You haven't had cheesecake in a while.
That food is great.
I know. That's where I go. I go for food.
Well, I thought you said.
But see, in Columbus, you have all these different restaurants. You have, especially Easton. I only live about 20 minutes away from Easton. So you have Brio's. You have Captain's Grill. So many restaurants. You don't have that down here.
Yes,
wait a minute.
Where's y'all Max and Irma's at?
We have
over
one.
Over
no, it's closed.
Yeah, that's
it's closed.
Did.
We didn't go.
Right, I tried to Google it.
We
like,
don't go there.
Yeah, nobody
because
goes
we have better restaurants.
No, I don't know about that.
Now, hold on. We have better restaurants. No,
you
no,
got
no,
old
no.
Charlie's beat them.
No, we have better restaurants here because we don't have a whole lot of chains. And if you look at our restaurants here, we have wonderful. If you look at Michael Alberini, Springfield Grill,
Michael Alberini,
Firebirds, Firewater.
Yeah, Firebirds, White Fire.
Firebirds, that was
You got a place out in Poland right there on the corner, great Italian, where we went with...
Lynn and George.
Yeah, no, where we went with...
Sammy.
Sam.
Yes.
Wonderful. We have small little quaint places. You can't find a better burger than Yankee Kitchen.
I've never been in Yankee Kitchen, but Five Guys got some good burgers.
That's commercial.
Yeah, we got Five Guys here, too.
Yeah, I seen that. I was like, oh, my gosh, I got Five Guys.
We have 2 Five Guys here, which I'll leave it alone.
We got, like, five.
I'm not going to say the word.
Five Guys is you're going commercial again. We have authentic home cooking.
Okay.
Well, I mean, now let's face it. The best burger you're going to get in Youngstown is going to come from something like Springfield Grill.
No. Springfield
Grill. You ever had that Kobe burger?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
No.
Or Michael's. When they use the real high-end stuff, put in it.
No.
Here we go.
All right, now,
today's
my birthday. Somebody's going to treat me.
Yeah, come on, man.
Oh, happy birthday, Eric.
We got to treat you
for
your
Diva.
Birthday. And you guys notice Diva's all laid back when she's in the studio, but she's a mild woman on the phone. Have y'all noticed that?
Unbelievable. I mean, it's like she can't see you, so she gets excited and starts.
No,
I'm
like, start hitting. You know, I'm from Youngstown.
Oh.
So.
What are you trying to say?
You are a sellout.
Last time I heard that was from Omarosa, and I almost kicked my TV in.
About her, but yeah.
Let me tell you what she tried to say, that Youngstown was the worst place in the world to be raised and born and to live in, and that's a lie.
Well, her experience was her experience.
Yeah.
Listen, my experience is my experience, and Youngstown may have its issues, but it is no...
I love Youngstown. I'm going to just tell you that.
You grew up on the Sharon line, right?
Yeah.
And you live out... still live out there.
I live on the east side.
Okay, Omarosa grew up where?
She lives on the north side.
There you go.
No. Listen, she was raised in the project, but the only thing is, I've been to Westlake when it was Westlake. I've been to the Kimmelbrook when it was the Kimmelbrook.
Yeah, being there and living there.
No. The way that she... No. Listen, living there, it may have been tough, and it might have been really down hard, and it might have had some stuff going on.
Ain't no right about it. It was.
But what I'm saying is, how she depicted that area...
Mm-hmm. She painted it in a very negative light.
When I say it was negative, you could have walked through the north side, and just because you walked there, you was going to get shot.
Yeah.
That was my experience.
I mean, I grew up in Westlake Terrace housing project.
How bad was it?
It was very bad.
How bad?
I mean, you got somebody shooting the dope on a corner, people shooting.
And if you walked by it, did they actually put it in your arm? Yeah.
Right, in the late 70s. In the late 70s, we used to go to... the mission over there, the Hagstrom House, and play ball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It was always going to be a threat of fisticuffs or worse.
Okay, kind of question.
When you went over
that
there.
That was the 70s, right?
Uh-huh.
Push me to 1985.
1985.
It was worse
because we lived on Work Street. And right up on the hill was one of the biggest drug families.
The Scots.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What?
I'm like, you naming names.
Yeah, I'm not naming names. My God.
So it was not easy living
out
there.
If you're going to be the best, you might as well take claim of it. If you're all on vacation, you might as well take claim of it.
Well,
frankly, it was actually three big families.
Uh-huh.
They were Robin Hood. They had a tower built to watch over the...
We understand.
And ours was another. So it was constantly... fighting, animosity, everything. It was bad. I can't disagree with Omarosa.
Was it the worst place to live in America?
Yeah. I don't know.
It wasn't Cabrini-Green. But
thank you very much.
But the thing
it
is,
was
you
South
don't
Central,
have...
was it?
Well, I've never lived in South Central.
Listen. Youngstown for almost two decades was South Central.
South Central has some beautiful areas, by the way.
Yes, they do.
So.
But they were killing up people here left and right.
We know they were killing up people, but the people that were dying, most of them were not people that were walking down the street.
But then again, you also have to look at, when I was younger, back in the 80s, the projects was where the bad areas were. If you ventured outside of that, the upper north side, the south side, going into the upper south side, it was all good. Now it's just all bad. Because everybody's killing each other.
Now?
Yes. I mean, it's quiet.
Now we ain't had, too many killings. We've been doing good.
Right.
Don't trip.
Well, there's nobody left.
They all locked
that's
up.
Good.
Yeah, they all.
They're locked
that's
up.
Dead,
that's good.
Dead, gone,
that is good.
And they need to stay
that
locked up.
Well,
and if they're dead, they're done.
They are done.
You guys just finished what the mafia started.
No, we didn't. We worse than the mafia. At least the mafia have turned into legitimate businesses.
At least they have a code of honor.
Wait a minute, they all running for office now.
Remember there was a Times Life article that called Youngstown the murder capital
murder,
of the world?
It was.
In the 50s or 60s or something?
Back in the 60s. Yeah, because they were blowing up
up cars.
You know, and,
but they were still a part of that element.
Didn't they try to kill the prosecutor one time?
They did. That was in the 90s, wasn't it?
Was it prosecutor 90s?
Yeah.
That was Paul Gaines. Wait a minute. That's how they broke the mafia up, with a black guy, two Italians, a black guy, and an old man.
That wasn't mafia.
That was mafia.
No, that was not mafia.
Oh, no. That was
mafia don't hire.
That was disorganized crime. It's really organized crime.
But if you look, I mean.
There you go.
Wasn't the. Boss, he was getting old, when you get old, you lose, you're not as great in the mind.
Hear me what I'm
faculties.
Saying. The mafia went down.
Yeah.
The FBI came in and they sent away a whole bunch of politicians.
Can I say this?
Hold on, Jeff. They sent away a whole bunch of politicians, two Italians and a black guy and an old man.
How many of them were Republican?
None.
Thank you.
I need to ask you a question, though.
And the list continues.
Why do you say the mafia went down?
Because that's what I read in the newspaper.
Oh, okay. The mafia took their hand off of certain things a certain way. They never left. And they're still here.
Yeah, the mafia is gone.
Like,
I read it in a newspaper.
You're going to have to go out and start my car when we leave here.
Did you put pennies on the hood?
What does that mean?
If you didn't put no pennies on the hood, baby, I ain't starting your car.
Listen, I'm serious. The mafia went down because I believe Ed Fitzgerald was king of the FBI then, and he took the mafia down in Youngstown. Go ask him. He'll tell you.
Ed Fitzgerald.
But, yeah, I can't disagree with what Omarosa said, because for me, growing up in Youngstown was one of the worst.
And
I mean,
frankly, if you know the family,
mm-hmm.
okay, then you could really understand why she said what she said.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, let me ask you, okay, say Youngstown is the worst place in the world he lives.
No, it's
hold
the
on,
worst
no.
place for Omarosa
okay,
to live
so
at the time.
So that you made it out, do you go back and bash the city that you came from the way she did?
No, but she's not a.
But was it really her bashing, or was she just speaking her truth?
Oh no! She was speaking.
No,
she was bashing.
She's bashing.
Now, wait a minute. She wants to come here and she wants to preach to people, and she wants to come here and tell them how great she is. But she doesn't want to, and she goes on national television and she actually murders Youngstown, Ohio.
And then you know, Sports Illustrated comes out with a story on Kelly Patrick.
Oh, that's another story.
Yeah, not about him or his accomplishments, but how he made it out of Youngstown and what Youngstown is. It's so bad in Youngstown. I mean, that was such a negative segment for Youngstown, even though, you know, it's disheartening.
But for me, like, growing up in Youngstown, it was most of the people that I grew up with mindset that it's like a cesspool. You're not going to get out. And those who make it out, bravo, hats off.
But they do make it out. There's some great, no. There's some great, great people across this nation that come in from Westlake and Kimmel Brooks, and they are doing great things, and they came from the hood, and they've made it. They may not come back.
That's
shame,
true.
Making a living in Never Land.
But they're making, they're doing a whole lot of great things. And we don't celebrate them, and nor do we call their names out, but they do great things. And my question is, do you bash where you come from? I got to take a break, but I haven't. I do. I don't think you're supposed to do that.
Well, you shouldn't, but I mean, if you do, in certain instances, it's understandable.
What's understandable? Why you want? I don't understand.
Lou Rawls did.
Tobacco Road.
Thank you.
That's a good song.
I was born in a dump.
Listen, tell them the story that you were born. Listen.
And my daddy got drunk.
Listen. Daddy was a Rolling Stone. All these kinds of, that's great, fine, well, and good. But at the end of the day, when you do an interview and the best thing that you can say about Youngstown is you, then that's a problem. I'll be right back.
What?
Here it is, everybody's favorite time of year, income tax time. Right now, Legacy Financial Strategies will do your income taxes for just $79. Here's David Gollner.
Legacy Financial Strategies offers complete income tax preparation for only $79 for ages 50 and over. We also review last 3 year tax returns, includes short and long form, schedules A, B, D, E, and free e-filing. We have every state tax form. Call toll-free at 800-264-4963. Our address is 3087 Innovation Way in Linden Point. That's Harmony, Pennsylvania.
That number again is 800-264-4963. 800-264-4963. Don't sweat this tax season. Let Legacy Financial Strategies do your taxes for just $79. Some restrictions apply.
Do you owe the IRS or state more than $10,000? If you don't take action, your tax problem is only going to get worse. Call the experts with an A-plus rating with the BBB. Call U.S. Tax Shield right now at 1-800-489-3838.
This is Dr. Cheryl Figliano for the Centers for Hearing Care. If you have a loved one that seems to have trouble hearing, is depressed, or disconnected with the world around them, please do them a favor. Call one of our local offices for an appointment today. Each of our 7 offices has a doctor of audiology and the best equipment available to help with any hearing problem. Visit www.centersforhearingcare.com or call 888-866-HEAR.
Hey, Dad, how's it going?
I'm okay. I'm still a little sore.
You're lucky you didn't break something with that fall you took.
I'll be fine. Just need to watch where I'm going.
Dad, I wanted to talk to you about something that's been on my mind.
What's that, son?
Just hear me out. What do you think about moving to...
Not that retirement community thing again.
I went online and found out about Copeland Oaks. It's close by and looks like a great place.
No, not for me.
But, Dad, with Mom gone and you home by yourself, I just want to make sure you're okay.
I'm fine. I'm not ready for a nursing home.
Dad, it's not a nursing home. It's a retirement community with younger, active people just like you. It's not like it used to be. They have really nice apartments, even real homes in a neighborhood, plenty of activities, good food, and they've been around for a long time.
I don't know.
You can still do everything you normally do, only you have people around who can help if you need it.
Well, maybe.
You know, they've even got a stocked pond.
Now, that's the best thing I've heard yet.
Call 1-800-222-4640 or go to CopelandOaks.com. Copeland Oaks, a faith-based retirement community. People of all faiths welcome. Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Well, you said, just wait a minute, just give me a minute. It'll be back again. Guess what?
Yeah, we figured it
don't
would.
Don't worry. What are you trying to say?
I'm not trying to
no
say
No one has
anything.
Found a song to replace my happy song. It's a toe tapper. What do you want?
You know what?
I
can ruin this song for you.
No.
I just, wait. Imagine Johnny Cash singing it. Huh? Now do you want to listen to it?
Yeah, I'm real unhappy. Coming around the bend. You can't take my happiness because I don't know when.
Listen, I got
I'm happy in Folsom Prison.
Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And we're going to try to keep it light for just until the top of the hour.
There we go.
But I got a question for you guys. This is serious. I'm serious. I got questions because I was out shopping while I was in Florida. And I was in a couple places, and they sold men and women's clothes. And a friend of mine said to me, she said, what would you think of a man if you saw him in that? And I was like,
well, first of all, what is that?
I'm getting ready to tell you. It was orange. It was yellow pants, orange shirt, and a checkered sweater.
Wait.
Hold on.
I know what I think.
I know.
Happy.
Hey, Matt, your mic is on. So is yours. I said, oh, my man wouldn't wear that.
But wasn't that the style in 1983?
Yeah, mix them
real
back,
bright colors.
Yeah.
Miami Vice-ish.
But see, but that was a little bit different. I mean, they were a little bit cool, but this is the tight stoke leg pants.
But definitely happy.
I would say straight out like this.
Oh, wait a minute.
No,
so
not
he
straight
had
at all.
On,
very happy.
He had on them tight jeans or just straight legs?
They were yellow. They were yellow, and they were selling them. They paired them together. I should have taken a picture of them. They paired them together, and I said, I like to see men in bright colors. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a good thing.
Well, but if that was came a, from Botswana, that'd be one thing.
But it was very, very it was very, very feminine. And I said, wow, in my head, I said, wow, how they're making women masculine. Because you can't find hose, you can't find dresses, you can't find skirts.
Where you can't find dresses and skirts?
You can't. I don't see them anywhere.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't see them. I see a lot of dark colors.
I'll give you a dark color.
But, I mean, you see lots of...
Yeah, and
when you do see them, they're so short.
Well, I agree with the skirts and dresses, but the hose are easy to find.
Oh.
Yeah, I knew Ben was going to chime in on that one. I knew it was coming.
He just said it out loud.
I said hose, not hose.
They're the same thing.
No,
we don't want
they
gardener.
They got a big section
thought...
right in the mall there. You can go right in Coffins. They got a whole thing of hose.
No, that's what I'm saying. The hose are going down.
They make
down.
About $3.35 an hour. Oh.
Ben!
Oh, my God.
Ben!
I'm laughing and don't laugh because that was silly, too.
Ben!
What?
That was a good one.
Market
normally
Street.
Normally your jokes are very corny, but that was a good joke.
Market Street, Oak Hill Avenue, and Route 46. You can find them all day long.
Really?
Yeah.
You cannot find hose, pantyhose.
Oh, pantyhose.
Yeah, you got to go to the
your
mall for that.
Store.
That's what
this
is. That ain't hose. No,
store.
That ain't real.
Oh, that ain't real.
I ain't never
real.
Seen
those ain't
that
real.
At the drugstore.
I'm a, listen, you.
Wait a minute.
She old school pantyhose.
I don't,
night before.
I don't do.
Night after.
You do the silk stockings, right?
I listen, there's a reason why I like Warren Buffett.
Okay.
Because Warren Buffett is I think the largest shareholder in Hathaway Berkshire,
mm-hmm.
Okay,
and they make the best hose hose in the world.
Pantyhose, okay.
That's not how you spell hose.
You do.
No.
That is how you spell pantyhose.
You have to put pantyhose on the panty on the beginning.
No, you don't. It's just called hose.
Otherwise, it's a water hose.
No, that's a water. You know, some things have multiple meanings, like no and no.
Mm-mm. You know, men they don't
just say no.
South Carolina,
get my yellow pants on.
Tracy. You know what? I wish you guys could see South Carolina, because that would be the funniest thing to watch him going down the street with yellow Stoke Lake pants on.
Okay, you gotta explain.
With yellow
Lake.
What?
Cigarette.
Straight leg.
Straight leg. Okay.
Skinny pants. Yeah. Hey, South Carolina, how you doing, darling?
Wait a minute, I came in, I don't know what the show was about this morning, but y'all
good.
Talking about Warren Buffett and hoes?
Yes, he owns one of the...
He can buy any hoes
he wants, for sure.
He can buy any hoes he wants.
Yeah, he can afford them.
No, he owns, listen, he don't have to buy them, he makes them.
He owns
them.
A hoe?
No, listen to what I'm saying.
He's got a training school for one?
No, listen.
Pantyhose.
Berkshire
Hathaway. Yeah,
Berkshire is a pantyhose.
I bought one of his hose before when I went skiing. It'd keep you warm.
Yeah. That's not a bad idea.
No, I'm
to
very serious.
To my hose to keep
only
yeah.
here could this happen.
Especially when you get back to the cabin.
Yes, Matt.
I think what you need to do is look around the room and take stock of who you have in there and really watch your language. That's all I'm saying.
Ben.
There was a 4.4 magnitude earthquake in Los Angeles. Okay.
Hold on, the shaking going on.
I got to call my nephew.
I got to call my aunts. I have two aunts whose birthday is today.
Oh, we had one, a couple weeks ago in...
Yeah, they're blaming it on fracking again.
Yeah, when no fracking was going on. Fracking is an earthquake,
by the
way.
On fracking. Because I'm fracking. Gonna make some money on fracking, I'm trying to make up a new song to replace Happy.
It ain't gonna work.
No.
Mm.
Okay. How about Weird Al Yankovic?
No.
Cause I'm sappy.
Oh, did he come out with something?
No, he's gone.
You know he's going.
It's coming.
It's coming.
He's already penning that right now.
I know.
Did he get in trouble with, who was the last artist he got in trouble with?
Michael
you
Jackson.
You didn't really hear too much from him after
Edith?
That. Okay.
The best one he did was that Coolio one.
What, living in an Amish paradise?
Yes. That was hysterical.
No, I love when he did bad.
I'm fat. South Carolina, you called in for purpose, and they just got you sidetracked. I'm sorry.
I tell you, I don't know what to say. Don't know what to say. But, Tracy, over the weekend, it was just kind of interesting to just kind of watch the news. And
No, top of the hour, South Carolina. No, don't do the news yet. No. We're trying to do happy for the first hour. No.
We're happy.
Oh, have you seen where happy got us here, Tracy?
Huh?
I said, have you seen where happy got us here in this hour? Might be time to change topics is all I'm saying.
We're nowhere.
We got 5 minutes, and then I got to give top of the hour.
Tracy,
yes, South Carolina.
I did get some news. To actually two pieces of information.
Okay.
I found out that I am one shy, just one shy, of being able to field a baseball team. My daughter's pregnant.
Oh.
Congratulations.
And I also found out that I got another daughter that's engaged.
Congratulations.
Who's paying for the wedding, you?
Dad. Who's paying for the wedding?
Dad.
Let's not even go there.
Dad.
I did put on her Facebook page or to the young man that she's married. I said, fine, you're lucky, buddy, because I put up that shotgun now without coming to see you. I always threaten the boyfriend. I had one. I was sitting there cleaning my gun one day when he came over to the house. You got to keep him straight, don't forget.
Yo, you guys really do that.
I did when my daughter went to the prom. I came down.
I can see myself sharpening knives
right here,
sitting there just sharpening a knife because I don't do guns, but just going to town with a knife in front of them.
You can run from a knife. You cannot run from a gun.
No, you ain't
gonna
run from me.
What you guys
do
that?
Damn.
You guys would not do that, would you?
Yes, I would. I couldn't imagine. But it's like when you have children and you have a daughter. Like I see my daughter; she's 13 and she's getting older. And gosh, she'll be dating.
Did she finally get a Christmas present?
Yes, she did. Oh man, I'm gonna tell you,
I met my daughter's prom date over the weekend too. So
them two pieces of coal work because she's been an angel. Grades came up.
Is that you?
So,
I think so.
Will you turn your phone down, please?
Diva says she's on her way.
You do that? That's the sales service for you in Youngstown, folks.
Don't trip, because y'all, listen, that's, you got Sprint.
Yeah.
That's Sprint service all over the country.
I get my messages very quickly.
Wait a minute. Bill Schroeder says, to hear Johnny Cash singing that song by Pharrell Williams would be like when Tom Jones sang the song Kiss. I like Tom Jones singing that song.
Yeah, well, I like Tom Jones, period. He's got a great voice.
No.
What's Carl did that?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Carl.
But he was a Barry Manilow fan.
Who was?
Carlton.
Oh, yeah.
I love Barry Manilow.
He liked Barry Manilow.
I can't believe
like
that's
he was
dad
happy.
Died.
Who?
Yeah.
Oh, the dad.
The dad
Uncle
died.
Phil.
Uncle Phil died.
Yeah, last year, right?
At the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uncle Phil.
There goes that
good
reunion
actor
show.
Yeah, well, the first mama left. I liked the first mama, then I liked Daphne Reed.
I liked the first mother, too.
Yeah,
I always liked the first mother.
Yeah.
They dogged her out.
They did. I didn't care for Daphne Reed ever.
They make the change and they just, they should have been a messy divorce and everything. They should have, you know.
Right, because
then
I mean,
they have the new
they
wife
went
come
from
in.
A skinny, dark-skinned mother to a short, plump, yellow mother. I'm like,
well,
how did they?
Went,
that was,
she,
what was the name?
But the writers weren't thinking. They should have had this messy divorce.
No, they shouldn't have done that.
Well,
that would
have
been
got
a good show.
You know,
they just popped in a new one.
Yeah.
Hey, this is a new mom.
Yeah, they were like,
different
oh, she
color
had the baby, so now she looks extremely different now.
That baby took the color right out of her.
What song was that by Tom Jones?
Huh?
Kiss.
No, Tom Jones. The other one, Carlton song.
What's it called to say?
No, you're not doing it right.
Delilah.
No, not Delilah. It was a dance show.
You got too much rhythm.
Oh,
it's not Tom Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
Something about to be loved by you. To be loved by you or something like that.
It's It's not unusual.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Well, listen, I got to take a break. You want the mics on or off? Because Diva's not there to entertain you guys during the break. She's here.
Leave them on.
You got them. Hey, Tracy and friends here on WSLM. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Valley's News Talk, WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. This is News Talk 600.
Hey, South, congratulations.
Just
with,
north of the Westwood area.
Didn't I say
thanks,
people,
man.
On?
Oh, there they are.
I mean, is it congratulations? Are you thrilled about it? You didn't sound too thrilled about it. So, everything good?
Well, no, I told them to figure out what the hell causes that problem and stop it.
What the hell
not
causes
like
that?
Help.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I told them, not like that's going to help anything. Man, I'm not even 50 years old and I got 8 grandkids. Jeez.
Well, you know, they say the more the merrier, and what's good is, you know, you can enjoy the grandkids while you're still, you know, physically capable, and then they'll be grown by the time you're older, and who cares, so. Or you'll
but
just
I
get a mess
learned.
All the way through, so.
I have learned grandparents' revenge, though. That's when you get yourself some high C or some red Kool-Aid and a big old bag of Skittles. And you give them 2 big old fistful about an hour before the parents come to pick them up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
They'll be bouncing off the walls, buddy. That's mean, cruel, and socially unacceptable, but it's funny as I don't know what.
What'd you give him?
Yeah, that's... I have yet to have my first, and I'm kind of knocking on wood. It takes a couple more years, but I'll be doing the same thing. Believe me, every problem they gave me, I'm going to find a way to induce before these kids go back to their parents. That's for sure.
Oh, the worst thing they've ever done, man, was one of the grandkids came over, and we were having baked beans, and he just absolutely was acting like he wanted those baked beans, and so I figured, hey, he's 8 months years old. He's 8 months. I'll feed him the baked beans. No big deal, right?
Wait a second. You talking about the Boston baked beans?
The Boston baked beans. He loves them.
Now you're talking.
He went absolutely crazy over those things. His mom called me back about 4 hours later. Why did you feed him? Oh, my gosh. What is this stuff coming out of my baby? It was hilarious, but, you know, grandfather like that.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, you got to do it. You got to put your kids what they put you through, so.
Yeah, I can't wait to when they get old enough so I can teach them to pull my finger. I got some of that old enough, but I want to teach the younger ones, you know, it's funny.
You are looking.
About, barking spiders and trouser geese.
Yeah. You are looking way too forward to continuing your grandfathership, that's for sure. That's funny.
Yeah, man. Uh-oh. Hang on, guys.
Alabama, you still there? I heard you chime in earlier. Eric, who's on the phone?
Yeah, that's me, guys.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much.
Today's your birthday, huh?
That's right.
It's kind of interesting on a St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, happy birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Sucks it's a Monday, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I hit the big 4-2 today.
4-2? Oh, man, that's nothing. you haven't got to the point where you pissed off Arthur yet. Give it a couple more years. Yeah, Arthur, he just all of a sudden you y'all friends, and then all of a sudden one day it's like he's just mad with you for some reason.
But yeah, I met my daughter's prom date over the weekend.
Yep.
How old's your daughter?
She's 18. She's a senior this year.
Oh man, you got a senior?
Yeah.
I can tell you like this, man. If you can find some external places to get senior supplies from, do it, because it will cost an arm and a leg, man. It is crazy how much that stuff costs.
Yeah.
You're right. Johnson's and, oh, man.
So what did you do to intimidate the date?
Actually, I shook his hand.
Oh, yeah.
That's when you give him a little extra grip.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. What my daughter, she's 21, and she got a boyfriend, came over the house for the first time, and I was thinking about how to do the intimidation thing, like what you were talking about, South, with cleaning the gun and all. So I had a couple friends over, and, you know, we'd all be talking, and he was kind of in the conversation, and every time somebody said a joke, I would laugh, you know, it would be funny. And any time he opened his mouth, everybody would just shut up and stare at him. He didn't know what to do after 2 hours of that. He was completely nervous.
Now that I like.
I mean, it was instant laughter that he would say, yeah.
Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Clap along if you feel like happy.
Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I love that commercial with the duck. It is 17 minutes after the hour of March. 17 minutes after the hour of 17 minutes after the hour. Today's the 17th of March. Happy St. Patrick's Day for all you people out there.
Back on the voice. I don't like this guy. Godfrey. Yeah.
Gilbert Godfrey.
Yeah, Gilbert Godfrey.
They fired Gilbert.
Listen, he wanted more money, and they just said no.
No, he said something about Chinese people.
Oh.
I thought it was gay folk.
Nope, it was Chinese people.
Well, who's invested in Aflac?
The Chinese.
Because if they invested in Aflac, he'll never get that job back.
Oh. Well, he better not show up in Chinatown anyway.
Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, you're welcome.
He'll be hanging in the window.
You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It is 8 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and I hope you're having a good day. Hope you're having a good week this week. It is the 17th. Today is 17th of March. Can you believe it? We're almost at the end of the month. I just cannot believe that. In studio with me is Ben Jeff, and Diva is sitting in studio and not on the phone. Can you really believe it? Wow.
And I'm on my best behavior.
Yeah, you know, she needs to come in more often because you act so much nicer when you're in
the studio. She's under control in the studio.
She's out of control over the phone.
Oh, my God.
South Carolina, Matt and Eric are on the phone with us. And we want you to join in with us. The number is 347-945-5229. It is going to be 48 degrees today here in Honing Valley with 43 degrees. I'm sorry.
Jeez.
Hold on, Jeff. 43 degrees here in Mahoning Valley, but the low is going to be tonight, 27. So you guys are going to bundle up a little bit. It's still going to be a little chilly tonight. The governor of Ohio is going to be here in the Mahoning Valley today at the McKinley Day Dinner, and it is a sold-out event, so we all look forward to seeing him there. And those of you who know anyone who is a lawyer who might want to be a probate court judge, please send your resume and let them know. We're going to be looking for a new probate judge here in the Mahoning County. So send your resume and your intent, or should I say your curriculum vitae, to the Mahoning County Republican Party, because they will actually vet the judges first and then send down three to four recommended names down to the governor for replacement. And because it is election year for that seat, you have to actually seat someone, because no, that probate court judge seat cannot sit vacant for that long period of time. It must be filled.
Why did he leave so quickly?
It was time to go.
Was it? Mm. Or did he just want to sue the Democrats for allowing him?
No. From my understanding, it's messier than it looks. So,
well, I understand.
And, you know, it was getting in the way of doing the job.
Mm-hmm.
But I will have to say this. I don't know all the details of what's going on with Judge Mark Belenky. But if you, for him as a person, he was the best person.
He was the consummate person.
Let me finish and then you can come back in. Hold on.
Oh.
He was the best qualified person to speak in probate court ever in the Mahoning County, because he bled and breathed probate. Go ahead, Jeff. I didn't hit you.
I got him for you.
I'm wondering what's going on around here. What the?
Tracy, you're on line today. You got two women.
As good.
Oh, we got two women. Six personalities.
Yes.
So you guys are
each of you.
You guys are highly outnumbered.
Yes.
We're outnumbered.
It's about time, Diva. Yes. Thank you so very much for coming in, because usually I'm the only girl in the room.
Yes.
And it's
whoa,
tough.
Wait a minute. No, you still outnumber us when you're the only girl in the room, so I don't want to hear it. But anyway, I'm gonna agree with you. Mark did a heck of a good job.
Oh my God!
But I think Susan Maruca, who's I think running for the vice.
We're not endorsing him.
I'm not endorsing, but I think
what
she's
would you call
really
it?
Good.
Well, she's gonna win the hands down.
Yeah,
I think
she'd be wonderful also.
Do you think that she will be controlled by outside influences?
Oh, most definitely.
That's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a problem. You know, I need a judge who will not be influenced by outside influences, no matter what
they're all going to be influenced by outside.
No, they're not.
I don't care who you have in there.
That's not true.
And if they're not controlled by outside influences, they won't be there long.
That's a problem.
What are we doing? Are we watching a parade around here?
Where?
Tracy.
In this room.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's cold.
Tracy.
I felt like I must have been outside yesterday or something. Yeah, let me handle
it. No, Jeff, because it's only 78 degrees in here. It was 32 yesterday.
It was small.
Well,
it was 13
out there right now, 15 degrees. What?
It's cold. It was hot in here. I was having a hot flash. What do you want?
No, you was having a hot flash because you were happy and all the time.
Hold on, Stanley. I'll be right with you. I got those other people on there. South Carolina is always good to have
you
with me.
I bet Stanley was out at the parade yesterday.
Stanley?
Yeah.
In New York.
Stanley wasn't outside. Stanley. Oh.
Stop spreading the news.
Hold on. Local call, your mic is on.
Yeah, this is Steve. I'm getting ready to come on down here.
I know you are. You coming down here to meet Diva?
Yes, I am. Yes, sir.
Well, we'll see you when you get here.
Put on your high karate. I got some cologne outside you can use, Steve.
Don't worry, because you need to meet her. You need to meet her, Steve. So come on down. We'll be glad to have you here. Come on.
Okay, I'll be down there in a few. Take me a few minutes. I'll be down.
All right.
Boy, she's even prettier in person, too.
And guess what? It's called the Tracy and Friends Hookup Line.
Wait a minute. She looks better than Debbie Wasserman Schultz, I'll tell you that.
That is not a compliment.
I said you look better than her.
That's still not a compliment.
Yeah, it is.
I mean,
not
anybody
yeah,
can look better
you
than
would,
her.
You would
I'm
say
sorry.
I look better
she
than
like,
her,
she
too,
looked like
so.
A sheepdog.
I'm just going to say for all you single men out there, Tracy's a very beautiful woman. Oh, my gosh. Don't look her age at all. Still looks 35.
Diva,
so
you already have a position.
We're
going to
have
don't,
Diva hook. We're going to have, Diva hook up line.
We tried to hook her up when she went on vacation a couple of years ago. Remember
and they got
that?
Beat up.
When we go network, you got a position,
Diva.
Tracy's a very beautiful woman. We were trying to auction her off to raise some money.
We
tried our best.
Yeah, the only thing is she's a Republican.
But we didn't have
though.
Cameras at that time either.
Right. Right. Now we've got cameras.
We got cameras. I think we can get rid of her now.
No. They're only on with Matt here.
She's a little pleasant on the eyes. Yeah,
that's not bad. You know, I take a bath every 3 days.
Oh.
Sometimes once a week.
Wait a minute. Speaking of taking a bath once a week, you know.
What happened to the plane?
I was in Germany, and they take a bath once a week.
But they don't use deodorant, period.
Wait a minute. They do, but I was in, like, a hotel part of the base, right? And we had these two little old cleaning ladies. These two cleaning ladies smelled like a crowd. A hot crowd.
I have to say, there's something about America. We love our baths, our bathing.
Because we have water.
Because one thing foreigners...
You got to understand, we have water.
Yeah, but when they come over here...
They don't know how to take water.
I'm like...
Yeah, they don't have water.
They don't have water.
And the water was free because in the apartment complex I live...
Well, they have
water,
but we bathe our babies.
No, we have water, but they have... I mean, they have water, but they have... There's things in there that could eat them.
Yeah,
they stay away from the water there.
When they get here and you're in your own living space and you have clean running water, you don't use it.
Now, hold on, I got a question for you, and I don't mean this in any way, but have you ever noticed when they cook, you smell it throughout the whole building?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Whoa, it's like, what are you cooking?
Curry or something.
Oh, yeah,
I love curry.
Or no, pitney.
I love curry, but geez, oh, man, you smell it walking in the door, going up to Elliot. I'm like, y'all, what? Open the door. I mean, you don't even smell fried chicken like that.
Right.
Hold on. Yes,
that's,
South Carolina.
That's nothing compared to kimchi and this pure garlic you smell.
Yes, sir.
Kimchi. What is a kimchi?
Kimchi. It's a fermented cabbage dish that they eat over in Korea. Very good.
What is the ostrich egg or whatever egg they use?
Duck egg. Yeah, in the Philippines.
Yeah, in the Philippines. Manny.
Balut or something like that.
There
balut.
Is something that Samoans cook. It is the worst smell. Oh, my God. I literally got physically sick one day because it was wafting up through my apartment. I had an upstairs garden and it was wafting up everywhere.
Wafting.
Wafting. When it comes to restaurants,
we don't use big words like that around here. It's
the smell, you know, when you go into a good restaurant. But the exception is a sushi bar. You walk in there, you don't want to smell anything.
No. Sushi bar, no smell.
Yeah.
If you smell fish,
you're right.
You got to go home. Hold on. Hi, good morning, Stanley. How are you? Welcome to Tracy and Friends.
All righty then.
Yeah, I should
do with Stanley.
He's there.
Yes. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, good morning, Stanley.
Good morning.
What?
I have a question to ask you guys and everything because I finished the book about the Oliver Stone, the Untold Story of American History, which was a fucking $1,000 book. Anyways, it was a long book
to read. Stanley. Go outside.
Stanley, wash your mouth out with soap.
And don't do that to us again, or we'll be off the air.
I like my job.
the question I want to ask is, how could us as Americans say that we consider other people terrorists and things like that, then when we go through our history, we've done so many bad things around the world? Why are we not surprised that 9/11 just happened? We should have had worse than 9/11 if we go to the history of what we did as a United States.
Now, you listened to an Oliver Stone book?
No. I didn't listen to just Oliver Stone. I did the research. I went from all the way from World War II all the way to now. I mean, the Vietnam War. I read the Vietnam War. I read about the nuclear bomb that we did to Hiroshima. I read about World War II.
Stanley, it's a very easy explanation. Those who win the wars write the history books. That's why we're not calling ourselves terrorists.
It's more than that.
Well, not only that, Hiroshima, why do you think what we did to Japan and Hiroshima was such a bad thing when we told
them the
cease and desist?
Because of the million of people, because of the million of innocent people that died there.
Okay.
And second second of all, because Japan was supposed to, was going to quit in 2 weeks before we did that. And the only reason we did the nuke, the only reason, and I've read many books, we said that the only reason we did the nuclear bomb because we wanted to do a front against Russia to let them know we have the power. That's the only reason. Because Japan was about to surrender.
Capitulate
anyhow.
We had no reason to
kill 2 million people.
Stanley?
No reason
Stanley?
At all.
Stanley, okay, Stanley, are you done asking your question?
Okay.
Because then I'm gonna let Ben and Jeff answer the question, then I'll give you my, because I think my answer is a little bit different than Jeff and Ben. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, well, Stanley, also you have to remember Bomber Harris was criticized heavily for the firebombing of Dresden as well as other cities. So, you know, unfortunately, war is war, and the one way you get a population to capitulate is by killing them.
Jeff?
And just because somebody said that Japan was going to stop in 2 weeks does not mean Japan is going to stop in 2 weeks. Look at what you have Russia doing right now in Crimea and how that precipitated and how the United States can do not a doggone thing about it. And, you know, but we had relationship with the Ukraine. Now that government, those people supposedly voted to secede. Now, when you're talking about all these things, you're also talking about a balance of power in the world. And when you have to balance the power in the world to keep peace, you do some things that sometimes aren't so nice. And I'm not saying the United States is justified. I'm just saying that the United States has done some very wicked things from the time when some people here put smallpox in blankets and gave it to the Indians, to when Columbus came here and down south of here, I should say, and tortured and killed the Haleakala Indians, yes, some very wicked things. But at the same time, some very, very, very good things were done by us and still are being done, as we give 70 to 75% of the world's giving to all people that are of lesser, well-off means than us. So,
not to mention Japan struck first.
Japan struck first, and they continue.
Hold on, Stanley. Hold on, Stanley. Yeah. Hold on, because Eric and Jeff, are you done?
Yeah, because of money they struck first.
Go ahead. Eric, did you want to jump in with this?
Japan struck first.
Let me say this to you, Stanley. America has not always been clean.
Mm-mm.
I'm not going to say they have.
Still aren't.
The difference is America always had God. Now America is dirty with no God and no moral compass. And when you take all that out of the equation, may God bless our souls.
Tracy, if I could jump in.
Go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to say, you know, a lot of what you research in history, like what Stanley said he was doing the research on, you also got to bring some common sense into it, too. If Japan was going to surrender in 2 weeks, first of all, nobody decides to surrender in 2 weeks. Nobody. It doesn't make sense. Number two, we dropped a bomb on Hiroshima, and they still didn't surrender. 3 days later, we had to drop another bomb on Nagasaki. They still didn't surrender. We had a third bomb in mind, and then they surrendered. So there were no plans for them to surrender in 2 weeks.
Right. They started it. We finished it, period.
I have a question for you, Stanley. How do you feel about all those lives that were lost during the attack of Pearl Harbor? Like, how do you feel about that attack?
I thought that was a tragedy, but it doesn't justify us doing the worst to around the world.
Right.
I would tell all Americans to let's count how many people we kill as innocent people. And
it has nothing to do with it. But let me ask you, Stanley, I got to take a break. But listen to this. If this is not tit for tat, this is you know, if I kill more than you do, then I win. You know, and I make you cry uncle. It's like playing dodgeball.
And my mom always said, if you're going to be in a fight, make sure you win. It makes no sense.
You make sure you fight first and you hit hard and you take out as many people as you possibly can. I'll be right back.
But
let's talk for a moment about a great.
But the question is, are we supposed to be the example of the world? And if we're supposed to be
we're not
the shining light. We're the shining light, like Reagan
said.
Oh, we are supposed
Stanley, what's up, Stanley? This is Alabama, man. I just popped in for a minute. My thing is, Stanley, like this. I don't think, I'm kind of like with Ron Paul on this. Leave folks alone. We don't need to be up here trying to be the moral compass because if some things are so great, we can't jump in and pick a side and say, this is the good side, this is the bad side. Like those people voted to get out. We still talking about sanctions. And look, these are free people. If they want to do that, let them do it. We ain't got nothing to do with it. Now we're finna spend money, sanctions, and that may cause another chain reaction of something else that can take place in another part of the world. So I say leave people alone. And only every once in a while, once every 20, 15, we want to do a little something fine. But this covert mess that the CIA be doing and selling drugs, and no, man. I mean, the country has done a lot of dirt, and I used to be more so, you know, the pro-military spending, pro-this, pro-that. Now I'm just out of the mindset of, look, man, these dudes is up to, you know, they're going to get us all hurt. And I look at 9/11, I think they did it. I think the government has something to do with it, but at the same time, even if we take their narrative as to what really caused it, then you have to say that they still were wrong because it was their dealings in other parts of the world that led to it.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the point. And I agree with Ron Paul 100%. That's why I say we are lucky that we just had 9/11, because if it was for the rest of the world, we would have had a 9/11 every fucking day for what we did. For the 2 million people we killed in Hiroshima, when we didn't have to do that. We didn't. From the million of people we killed in Vietnam, that we didn't have to do that either. We didn't.
Well, see, Stanley, if you look at Vietnam, they wanted us in. Was it Gulf of Tonkin? They wanted us in for financial, military? Eisenhower warned us before he got out, and Kennedy was of the same ilk as Eisenhower in that regard, and saying that the military-industrial complex is threatening our freedom. And soon after that, Johnson gets in, and boom, now we're in Nam. So,
yeah, but,
you know,
but did you see
how he said, "I want that ship sunk." He was talking about an American ship. I want that effing ship sunk to the bottom of the ocean. That's what he said. And next thing you know, we're in Nam.
Yeah, it's the point to Nixon always dropping, promising to the people, we're going to stop the Vietnam War. And he's saying, I'm not going to stop the Vietnam War. I want to drop bombs until they surrender, period. How would you feel?
The thing is, Republicans and Democrats are on board with this. The thing is, when a guy gets in, they got us up here fighting at each other's throats and fighting over peanuts. Then to get these military, like they're cutting the military, they're cutting certain parts of the military. They're not going to cut these contracts to these big corporations to go out here and make these weapons. They're not going to do that. That's when then you'll start really seeing the budget turn around. They don't care, but they'll cut the personnel because they got robots, computers. They don't need the people that they used to have, and they're cutting them. And on top of that, these are the people that if they were to ever do something, could be able to rise up and stop them. They're shrinking the military where if they ever want to do something, it's only going to be a select few. And the less people you have, the more you can control them.
Because I'm scared around the world. I know now when you read history of what we've done, people around the world could justify some stuff. From Chile, we did some stuff. From Ronald Reagan, when he decided to invade Chile and have people that was fighting for him to do stuff. Come on, guys. I could take both Democratic and Republican. I'm not dividing this, but we as Americans, we can look at our history and be proud of it and not say to other people, damn, man, what the hell were we thinking of doing this?
I'm all for it. I'm all for getting out of these countries, closing these bases, reconsolidating, getting rid of these contracts. Look, man, you can fix the national debt. In a few years, man. It's not hard. It's just, but you're going to have to make some real choices. And even us as Americans, we're going to have to lose some of these programs. And everything, if we cut everything and just go back to simplistic, just the bare necessities, and I'm not saying cut welfare and let people die on the streets, but I'm saying, you know, wean off of certain things and get things right. I think it can be fixed, but they're in. You do that, you're going to have to kill some people. I'm just, it's some people, it's some bankers, some wealthy individuals that are going to have to be killed before that's been, before that takes place. Because they're, they just, they got a stranglehold like cancer, and they're not going to let go.
Oh, yeah, I know. The bank, that's another thing that I'm surprised. The more you read and the more you're shocked. We can't even do that then. I'm sorry. I'm not proud of the history of American. We've told we're supposed to be the shining light. We're supposed to be the example. We're supposed to be this and that. But then when you look at the history,
well, why? But see, my thing is, why not? They always say that. But my thing is, why not be the shining light and example for those who come to your country? Why do we need to be the shining light in your sovereign nation? We don't need to come to your sovereign nation and force you to do anything. If Uganda wants to say, hey, we disagree with homosexuality, that's Uganda. That's Uganda. We have no reason going over there trying to twist their arm as far as how they look at homosexuality, how they look at, so that's them, that's that nation. But
and
I have a problem with that.
Yeah, and I have a problem. How can we justify from deciding to interfere to one country, but when another genocide is happening, we don't interfere? Like Africa, we didn't interfere. When Rwanda was happening and millions of people were getting killed and genocide, did we interfere? Did we stop it? Did we say that we're going to be the shining light and say that's unfair? We didn't do nothing.
Well, see, it depends on where you are.
Should we have stopped it, Stanley?
Yes, we should.
So now that would have been a perfect example. Now you want to go into other countries. Now you
wait.
You're disagreeing with what Alabama just said. We should concentrate on America, close the borders. Should we have helped this other country? That means going abroad and enforcing our laws on other countries, Stan.
Okay, but...
Let me jump in there one quick, Stan. Let me jump in there because I'm about to go in my office. I'm going to say this right here. In certain instances, if you want to do something humanitarian, it's fine. And on top of that, it had Belgium and the West not going in and turned those two tribes against each other in the first place. See, this is we're deeper in this than we think. It's not that these people just rose up, we want to kill each other. These people rose up wanting to kill each other because white Westerners came in and turned them against each other. And then they put the ones that were oppressed in charge. So what happened? They got wound up killing each other. I mean, it's not, I'm not trying to say this to say, and then they're fueling it by the French and selling them the weapons. They're selling them the weapons. The same companies that we have all these defense contracts with are selling the weapons to these people to kill each other. That's why they want them to do it. It's way bigger than that.
Yeah. And to come back to what you're saying, so what are you saying? Are we supposed as Americans just accept that a million people or 2 million people are getting killed and not do anything about it?
Well, I mean, you can't go ahead and say that we shouldn't interfere in other countries. Listen, Afghanistan and Iraq... was supposed to be a humanitarian effort to nation build. That's what it was supposed to be about.
Okay. But do you truly believe that's what we did?
No, we didn't. We ruined it.
It's not unusual to have fun with anyone. But when I see you hanging about with anyone, it's not unusual.
I wanna die.
Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And it's 33 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. I'm trying to freeze Jeff and Diva out the room.
Get ready to say, because I'm getting ready to start singing the Irish songs now.
Hey, happy Was Tom Jones Irish?
No, he was Welsh. He's ended with the Welsh saying every time something's going
on. He's also Canadian. He's a Canadian nationality.
Oh, he's Canadian.
He was a Welsh.
Don't they celebrate St. Patrick's Day in Canada?
I don't know. I'm sure they do. You have Catholicism everywhere, so wherever you have Catholicism,
Irish.
Hold on. That's Irish Catholic.
Irish Catholic, yeah. There's a difference.
Oh, that's right.
That's Irish Catholic.
Forgive me. Wait a minute. All right. I'm better.
Now, hold on. I told you I went to an Irish calling hours for a friend of mine who was an Irish Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Everybody was drunk.
Wait a minute. You got to understand. I think this is my first time going to a calling hours for someone who is Irish Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. And you walk in. You know, you walk in to view the body and give your condolences to the family.
Uh huh. And they hand you a shot.
They did. They had a case of Bailey's Irish Cream sitting there. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Hey, listen, Irish wakes are great.
I gotta go
to a bar. Just go. I knew him.
Somebody gave me a collector's Bailey's Irish Cream for Christmas about 10 years ago now.
You still have it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can tell you're not Irish.
Alabama. Thomas John Woodward, a.k.a. Tom Jones, was born in Wales.
Makes him Welsh.
Wales.
So that makes him nuts.
Treforest, Pontypridd, Glamorgan, Wales.
Very good. Alabama, what's going on, Doc?
I'm impressed.
What's up?
But
what's
you
happening?
Did
what's,
just
what's
walk.
What's up with y'all?
Stanley's been reading for the last over the weekend, and now he's come back and he's found out that America's dirty.
And I'm about to pinch Jeff.
Well, I mean,
no,
I kind of feel Stanley to a certain extent. I just think I hate to see when people hate America to the extent that they want to see it destroyed or something, or don't want to see things done in good interest. Sometimes, now that I disagree with, but to say that we should be interventionists and be out here policing the world and trying to hold people to, I disagree with that because a lot of times in that, there's no right and wrong. It's just a gray area. And you just come in and just pick a side. And then you, after some years later, you lose. Now we're supposed to be so pro-Western, we wouldn't have Iran if we overthrew a pro-Western government. So it's kind of like, I don't get it.
You realize,
yes.
Let me see, you guys realize that America's not policing the world because it wants to be the police. America's policing the world because it has to have interest in every part of the world to keep it secure.
That's the whole...
I mean, you realize... I mean, Hold on, listen, guys. One at a time. I mean, we can wait till the next person finishes the sentence. Everybody in studio and on the phone. Hold up.
Wait up, Tracy.
Okay.
You really believe that? You really believe what you just said?
Listen to what I'm saying. We are not policing the world because we care about the world. We're policing the world because we want to have interest in all parts of the world.
Exactly.
We're not so humanitarian that we love everybody, because if that would be the case,
we'd be in Sudan.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay,
we're not.
Well, can I jump in there 1 second, because I'm about to get out. The
no,
thing
you ain't
is,
go ahead.
We went to Afghanistan and policed Afghanistan. Now, people don't want to hear this. There's a reason heroin has taken a real jump. Like, it took a big jump during NAM. But they grow a lot of poppy and opium over there in that area. Now we're back in Afghanistan, and heroin took a big surge. The government is involved in dope business, and this is well documented, right?
But
so,
hear me
I
what
mean,
I'm saying.
Say interest, hold on, let me make a point. When you say our interest, Iran country, we're taking drugs and selling them through to the Sandinistas, and I mean, come on. I mean, sometimes then you'll turn around and lock a brother up for having a joint in his car.
Alabama, go get a Q-tip.
He heard you.
What do you think I just
point.
Said?
Mm-hmm. You know,
okay,
I got to add.
Why you think I'm debating you? I ain't saying nothing about you. I'm just saying.
It sounded like
you were
debating
when you say
her.
Best
but...
interest sometimes, it seems like to me when people say best interest, that could turn into, okay, well, I'm going to keep this dope game going. So I'm going to keep these two guys at war because that's going to help our economy because that we can sell them weapons to fight and kill each other. I mean, that's what it's turned into now. It's gotten
it's
into,
all
we
about
don't even
money.
Know good, up from down, left from right, good from evil anymore with the CIA because they do a lot of dirt. It's just like that. And I'm saying all nations, China, Russia, but it started within the last, well, I ain't going
to
say
that. Well,
he don't
know to get a word in.
Alabama,
do you remember the Star Trek movie where Spock said, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few?
Yeah.
I think that's what we're seeing when it comes to American foreign policy. We'll waste a few thousand lives to save a million lives here.
A couple million.
Yeah.
More than a couple million.
And to protect the green, the money that's flowing. And
always.
if they can make money off the poppies, they're going to do it.
And let me ask
you, as wrong as it is.
If you look at Afghanistan, if I'm not mistaken, Afghanistan's all about the poppy seed.
What it is. Well, it's two things.
Oil in the poppy?
Uh-uh. There's no oil there.
No oil.
Oh, just poppy
there's,
seed.
No.
There's opals there.
Opium? They got opals. No, opals.
Gemstone.
Opium, of course.
Opium?
Yeah, because it's gemstone. A derivative from the poppies. But here's the problem. You have right next door to Pakistan. I mean, you have Pakistan right next door, who have nuclear weapons and a very unstable government.
Well, not only them. They've got their northern border is the Soviet former Soviet
yeah,
Union.
Yeah, but you're
Russia.
Not worried about the Soviet Union so much as you are worried about Pakistan becoming overrun with radical Muslims
yes.
that will use a nuclear weapon because they have the systems,
but,
delivery
right.
systems,
but,
and
but,
all.
But who
I'm
are
saying,
those weapons pointed at?
But
it don't matter who they're pointed at until they get control
but
of
see, what I'm
India.
Saying is, but, I'm,
right.
but see, I'm, I just want to, because they stuck on the drug thing.
Yeah.
And we have to understand, I mean, there was something during the Iran-Contra hearings.
Mm-hmm.
That we need to really take a look at.
Oh, we did it.
And so America, because Stanley brought this in, we have never been clean. Right now, we're concerned about Russia. Do you really think we're concerned about the Russian people or the Russian oil and the Russian gas?
We're not concerned about Russia.
Ukraine?
You're worried about the balance of power in the Ukraine.
Okay, and why?
Okay, because you were supposed to, if you had a real president, you would have had a missile defense system already set up there that would have stopped
but the
foolishness like this.
But the question is, why is it that we are so concerned right now, and we say that we give a lot of lip service. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're giving a lot of lip service, a lot of hot air, but we're really not doing anything to actually go after what the agenda is in the Ukraine.
Well, it's because of what we have down in D.C.
But I'm just saying,
what
is our interest there? What is our foreign policy interest?
The pipeline that feeds Europe runs through the Ukraine and through Crimea, and not only that, Crimea is not going to be go back into the hands of anybody else but Russia, because Russia needs a warm water port for its warships. That's the only warm water port it has, and that's what you're dealing with here. And they're not going back. It's going to be a stalemate here. And you got, like I said, you got a mom jeans wearing cat. Making this decision.
Call him a mom jeans wearing
that's
cat.
What,
oh
that's
God.
What
he's
that.
Right
that. I'm saying it like that
God.
For the reason
right
of that he's weak spine.
Jeans.
I'll be right
listen,
back.
The president, the president, the president could be wearing those yellow pants.
This is a special news alert to consumers.
Hello. Hello.
What's up, Stanley?
What's up? There's one comment I didn't understand of Jeff. Jeff said that we should be afraid of Pakistan because they have the nuclear weapon. But how can we justify being afraid of that when we're the only country around the world that decided to basically bomb a place with our nuclear weapon?
Well, that was in the 1940s. It was the first time the nuclear weapons were used, and chances if we weren't the first country to achieve a nuclear bomb, we wouldn't have been the first country to drop a nuclear bomb.
But do you understand my point? How can we say to other countries, oh, we're scared, we think you're going to be crazy, but we were the only
because
country
they are
done great. That? Yeah, but don't you think that the rest of the world thinks that we're crazy if we're the only? How would you feel if you're the only country? You have many countries who are supposed to be crazy, and none of them have done what we've done. We decided.
Sure, they have. We've seen other countries use not nuclear weapons, but they've used chemical weapons against their own people, killing hundreds of thousands, if not millions, through those chemical weapons. So yes, they are responsible for the same death tolls, just with a different delivery system.
Okay, but we're more responsible for the problem with the nuclear weapon. I just don't understand why we did that as Americans. Because
why
that could always – yeah, I don't understand that. Because that could always come back to us. And I'm sorry to say 9/11 was just a little thing. If you go through history, if you go through things, if you go to people who really hate us and they know their history, they'll tell you why they hate us. They'll tell you why they wish that 9/11 would have been the end. There's a lot of people around the world who hates us, not through because they're jealous of our economy. No, they hate us for the right reason, because they feel in their heart, you killed innocent people. You did a lot of bad things. You were responsible for CIA. You did this, you did that. And we have to own up to that as Americans, say, did we do it or we didn't? And if we did, what the hell were we thinking of doing that? Because if the role was reversed, we would have all been the ones saying we need to have justice. If the Roe was reserved, go ahead.
Then you got to look at chronological order, Stan. You have to realize, and I'm not saying U.S. has clean hands. I've never said that. There's very dirty things, schemes that have been dealt with the U.S. government. However, and what's funny is a lot of people seem to go, oh, the U.S. government is the way out of our problems here in America, but then they say the U.S. government is evil. So somebody's got to pick a side somewhere. But
exactly.
If you look at chronologically speaking, a lot of what the U.S. has done was in response to horrific attacks or horrific acts by other countries. Unfortunately, then we get woven ourselves into that fabric and do those things ourselves. We weren't the first ones to do these heinous acts around the globe. The Middle East has been killing people for thousands of years, innocent people, just for their religious beliefs. The U.S. doesn't do that.
I agree with that, that the U.S. doesn't do that. But if you look at our history, we were responsible for stopping election in Chile because of the CIA. We were responsible for baking Bin Laden. We invented Bin Laden. Saddam Hussein Bin Laden was our little thing that we invented.
Right. But then again, Stan, we got into those situations under the disguise of humanitarian works. Everybody was about us going into these countries for humanitarian reasons,
well,
and all of a sudden things don't turn out that way.
For them to be agreeing with that, that's really strange.
Hey, Stanley's on the phone. Diva is in studio with us. Jeff and Ben and I are here. On the phone we have Matt. Matt, I want Matt to jump in on this. Also want South Carolina and Stanley and Alabama to jump in, but I want to see what Matt has to say on this topic. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, I was just Stanley and I were discussing there in the break, and you know, I've never said the U.S. has clean hands because they don't. It's you can, and what Stanley is saying about a lot of these things is true. But what you got to look at is chronological events that have happened and why the United States is involved in a lot of these other nations and why they've done what they've done. I'm not saying it's good reasons, but usually, and I would say usually being 98% of the time, we're in these countries under the quote-unquote humanitarian cause that everybody's cheering about for us going there, and it has to do with what other countries have done to their own people, being evil themselves, gassing them, using chemical weapons against them, something to that effect. And the U.S. steps in, and that's where the problem starts. So to say that the United States is evil and we're the only ones, no, the Middle East has been evil, killing their own people for religious beliefs for thousands of years. Okay, it's not the U.S.
But
the U.S.
Here's my thing. If you really think that the United States is stepping into all these conflicts because they care so much about the people, you don't have to look at why we step into certain conflicts and not others. Because what happened in Sudan was atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
But why do we never intervene in anything that happens with African nations?
Wrong color.
There's no interest there. So anywhere we look, you have to look behind. Yes, they may use the humanitarian effort as an excuse, but that's the only way to sell the American people, because the American people we're an emotional people. So when we see in the media that, oh, people are dying in the streets and their government is doing this, the government, trust and believe that the president, Congress, and everybody is looking for a way to intervene, and they're using our emotions and what's playing in the media as a way to get to do what they already wanted to do.
Right.
So
and Diva,
I don't believe it has anything to do with caring about people.
We all agree.
It has to do with your interests are for you and or your allies. And this controls all of Europe, what's going on here right now. The gas prices in Europe, the home heating prices in Europe, everything is goes right through
it
this
is,
area.
It
they
is
just
my
took over.
Understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm trying to recall this from memory, and I did not research it, but it's my understanding that America, there is no American company that actually owns a refinery anymore.
Yeah, very well could be.
That they're all British owned.
Stuff won't even.
I just have a question. Why is y'all gas prices so cheap up here? Y'all's like 20 cents cheaper than ours.
I know,
and
I almost ran out of gas coming up from Columbus because I refused to get gas down there where you guys are.
It's because Youngstown's such a great place.
That's right.
Okay.
What's the gas?
You say so.
Because all
the gas
prices from here.
Yeah, we've got a gas utopia here.
What'd you say, Matt?
What's the gas price there in Youngstown?
$3.55?
$3.59. $3.53? Yeah, $3.40.
In the hood, $3.49.
Yeah.
Got to go to the hood.
Yeah, I'm going
to
get it.
Don't be messing up with the hood.
Mm-hmm. Don't do that because I tell you what.
What?
You go to the hood and buy some 349 gas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Your car.
That's not true.
Think your car got a cold.
No, uh-huh. That's not true.
All that water was not in there. It is true.
That's not true.
Listen.
I got a good car there. I put a gas treatment in there and buy me cheap gas.
Well, you can get your gas and get shot at the same time.
Absolutely.
Well, Oregon. You don't get shot.
It happened just Saturday.
What?
They shot that guy up in the car right across the street from the gas station.
That's because he was somewhere he wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah, he was
at the gas station.
Dewey and South Avenue.
Well, we know he didn't purchase unleaded.
Okay, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600.
I'm leaving.
We were talking about what's going on. But I have a question for you guys when it comes to this plane, and I want to bring that up. Do you really think that we don't know where the plane is, one? Do you think that the plane is just MIA, or do you think the plane went down by accident, or do you think the plane went down intentionally by somebody's design?
Well, it doesn't make a difference. I can find that plane in 2 minutes.
Put child support on it.
No, I was just going to hire a tattoo.
The plane!
I just find it, it just seems so odd. I don't think that it went down by accident. I think
hijacked.
It was hijacked. And I think...
You think it's sitting in
front of why else would you... Why else would
I
you...
Think they, I don't know. I want to say I think they would have it hidden, but there's no ransom...
They're going to use it for a delivery system.
But seven days, some people are hungry, you know.
No.
But people are dead.
Hold on. Okay. No.
They could not survive that long at that altitude.
Why?
Because there's not enough oxygen in the oxygen tank.
No. But I'm questioning. I don't think they were up that long. I think it went down. I think. Remember when what went down in
no, they tracked. They tracked it above 45,000 feet for a few hours, and there's
it was only
45,000 for 2 minutes.
Yeah, for a couple minutes, and then it dropped down to 23,000 feet.
But my question is,
and stayed there
in the seventies,
mm-hmm.
The hostage crisis.
Mm-hmm.
How did those people get there?
Get where?
Remember during
the Lockerbie hijacking?
Who was Lockerbie?
Was a blow up.
No. I'm talking about during Jimmy Carter.
Iran
hostage.
How many hostages did they have?
225.
How did they all get 225? Where did they come from?
They were embassy workers.
So do you think that this is the same scenario played over again? We just haven't found out from where and from who?
Flown in?
Don't know.
Can I give you my theory?
I'm saying because an NBC takeover in a plane situation, but they did ask for ransom. How long before the hostage crisis did they start asking?
When you
for
need it, right now, if we can't find it, I can deal with you until I need you.
Now I was up close and personal with this particular situation. As the people from our base went in to check on the hostages, okay, and they were going to try to get them out, and they weren't allowed to take any guns in. They flew into the country, an extraction, team, and they kept them at the airport. They say they smacked them in the face with gun butts and all this other stuff. These are military. These are Air Force and Army. And they could not get in. They could not get into any of the places. Okay. And they sent them back out without the hostages. And that's... A year later is when Ronald Reagan came in office.
That day they let him loose.
The day Ronald Reagan
was sworn in
that night.
They let those hostages loose because they knew it was going to happen.
No, there was an episode of House of Cards that kind of played out that way. Not a hostage way, but I'm like, wow.
All these shows are doing nothing but taking a whole bunch of history and slamming it together and making it real. Hey, go ahead, Matt. You were saying something.
Yeah, it's my crazy conspiracy theory about what's going on with this plane. What I'm doing is I'm taking the atmosphere of what the world looks like, especially if you happen to be in certain areas where your political affiliation isn't doing so well. And I think that probably the best way to be able to jack up your numbers and get people to look at you in a favorable way again is if you can ride in on a white horse looking like a knight and being able to free a couple hundred people from certain death. I think that this is a setup. This whole hijacking was a setup paid for by those who would want to make themselves favorable again in their certain areas. So I think we're going to find this plane in the next week or so, and I think that there's going to be some pretty crazy political spinning going on, and those hostages are going to be rescued, and there's certain political leaders that are going to look very favorable again in their nation.
The only thing, the only reason why I would have to disagree with that is what's a dead hostage, how much good is that going to do you? And it's been how long now? And you can't go that too long, too much longer without food and water. And
I'm sure they're being
fed. The plane is not up. The plane is down.
I know, but where are you going to? They're landed somewhere very remote.
No, and if not if your plan. Listen, if you found it, if there's a simulator that they found, mm-hmm. if they knew where they were going, if I take your car and I'm planning, I know where I'm going, then I know where I'm landing and I'm prepared for it.
Okay.
In the middle of nowhere.
Now, who's willing to take the next step?
What step?
This plane disappeared in what's known as the Dragon's Triangle. It's just like the Bermuda Triangle. Is that a possibility?
I was going to say at the end of my thing, or aliens, right?
Well, not aliens, because the Bermuda Triangle has nothing to do with aliens or anything like that. It's supposed to be a time continuum situation where people get lost in it. They actually describe going through a spiral clouds and formations in the sky that go through a spiral. Now, we know that we've never found a whole lot of aviators through these things. How about, you know, in this particular area, they lose hundreds of boats per year, hundreds of fishing boats every year, right in this area where this plane disappeared.
But see, I think people are, the number 347-945-5229, I think people are smart enough to know that. And if you, and when I say that, if you look at, I'm not talking about conspiracy theory.
I got you.
And, you know, it as a conspiracy, if I know that there that this is happening there, it's a good place to hijack a plane.
The only reason why I would disagree with Dragon's Tail is because the way the plane has been manipulated while
right.
it's in the air.
And they have control of it.
Right.
When those things disappear, they disappear without
right.
a trace.
And
what you have to ask yourself
no manipulation in there.
What's the best way to get rid of the people on board?
Kill them.
Right.
Take them up. And if you have alternate... air, oxygen, you can live.
Yes.
Even though the cabin decompresses.
But I honestly believe it's a terrorist thing. And what scares me is, what are they going to use that? What kind of weapon are they going to put on that to use it as a delivery system?
Hey, 440, your mic is on.
Yeah, consider that. I'm pretty sure that it's landed somewhere. Those people are dead. They have better things to do. Those people are dead, and they're going to use the plane for something. What, I don't really know, but that's what they're going to do. And the one thing that nobody else has considered, how about the rapture?
No.
Because we don't hear, right. I'm like,
oh, no. I hate to tell you this, but I'd be gone, so that's not a...
My only thing with that 440 is...
There was a timetable on that. You said there's a timetable.
My only problem is what are they what would they be negotiating for? What would be their purpose? And
to deliver a bomb.
Delivering a nuclear weapon. How about that?
The dead hostages aren't. A plane is not going to get you what you want, and having the hostages dead already is not going to get you what you want.
A jumbo. They want the
plane.
They might
be delivering
a nuclear weapon
with the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already
now there's a problem with that, because any plane that flies with its transponder off now is going to be shadowed by jets, especially if it gets close to our coastal waters. They're going to have to steal a transponder from another jet and disguise it that way. So that's what we ought to look at now.
Why would you fly a jet without a transponder?
So you can't be detected.
So if that's the case, you know, the plane just didn't go down by malfunction.
You could still detect
that's deliberate.
Yeah, they deliberately did this.
So you could still track that plane, though,
and who was
by
on,
radar.
And who was on the plane that they would want that they wanted all those people to die? What was going on
exactly.
on that plane?
Well, it doesn't make a difference.
Oh, yeah, it does.
They wanted the plane. They don't care about the passengers.
If the plane is not
in the air, they don't care about the people.
No, you can track a plane above 10,000 feet.
But if it's not in the air, now we know it's not in the air, how
right.
can they track it now? They can't track
it now. Well, no, we can't track it now at all.
But once
it gets up in the air again, we'll be able to track it.
I'll see you guys in a minute. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM.
All right, who's on the phone?
Me. 440.
Oh, hey, 440. How you doing?
I'm doing good. The thing is that they don't have to use the plane right away. That's the whole ticket. They don't have to use it. You know what? And if they re-outfit it to deliver a nuclear weapon, it's going to be a while. Things are going to cool down. Those people were just in the way. Everybody's talking about the people, the people, the people. No, they're dead, and they were just, we don't need them, so they're out of the way. They're useless to them, so they're pretty much out of there. They're dead. Dug a big hole.
You know, the
and,
only
and say goodbye.
The only thing that I can't dismiss that it's a possibility. But I mean, you can deliver a nuclear weapon in a briefcase. I don't know why you need a 777 to do it. Or you could just hijack a Cessna or something, you know. And the type
of weapon that they probably got through the black market, which would probably be North Korea, I'm assuming, you're going to need something the size. Specifically, they targeted a 777.
Oh, you're saying they acquired old school nuclear technology, so it's a lot bigger is what you're saying.
Sure. Yeah, that's exactly what. Yeah, I mean, I heard Colonel West and a couple other military guys almost saying just about the same thing, which I was thinking also. You would need a plane the size of a 777. Essentially,
yeah, I mean, I can deliver a
payload like that.
Where
you know they're going to re-outfit it too, so
right. Where I'm at and what I'm leaning towards, and I kind of beat around the bush on the air, but I'm thinking in my mind that there is such a problem with the leftist movement going on in America right now because they're looked upon unfavorably. I'm thinking that this hijack was bought and paid for by the U.S. government for purposes of, you know, in a couple weeks to go ahead and have Obama run in and the left run in and free hostages. And you better hope.
You better hope our government isn't that bad. You better hope that this guy isn't that they're not that way. That's bad.
It is
really bad.
But, you know, if you look at the times where we're at right now, I mean, we're coming up on this midterm. It looks horrible for the Democrats. They're even talking about it. They're saying it looks bad for us right now. It looks horrible. And it's like they're building up to something. And I just... That's what I see. I could see the nuclear weapon thing.
I don't want to think that they could do something like that, but you know what? The things that he's done since he's been in office, I don't know. Jeez. You could be right. But I don't want to think it. I don't want to think that. Boy.
Well, this is a good thing for the people of Crimea to vote for their own sovereignty, don't you think?
Say that again, Pianki?
It's not just that. He's running away from everything. He's just running. He's acting like an isolationist, and you can't do that anymore. You cannot live in this world and be an isolationist. Everybody is too dependent upon everybody.
Yeah,
and,
but
you can't, and what he's doing, he's just running away. This is not the first case. He's running away on everything. He runs.
But he doesn't want to be bothered.
But
by the same token, you can't do what we've been doing, which is interfering every time that we want to. We can't
not
have
only
it both
interfering,
ways.
But starting
stuff.
We're
not doing anything.
Yeah, we're not doing anything.
Doing
yeah, we're not
anything.
Doing anything. I know. But when
we
do something.
You got to look out.
when you got an enemy that is dead set on destroying you, the thing you got to do beyond anything else is make sure you put those things in place to make sure that he doesn't come after you. Now, this is in the best interest of the United States to find these cats, because the next thing they'll do is put this plane in the air with under the markings of another state or another country or an Arab country airlines, and just fly it to wherever they want to and just blow the hell out of any place. I mean, think about it.
Well, that airplane might have been used to bring out, take out the CIA cohorts that started the coup in Ukraine, too.
But I mean, it's what they were talking about as far as radar. Yeah, you're talking about taking a plane, do terrain masking, and you wouldn't be able to see that sucker, even though it's big as I don't know what. But
we don't have to be the target. We don't have to be the target. They explode something like a 10 megaton bomb anywhere. That is going to be bad news. You know what that's going to do to economies? That will affect our economy. I don't care if it's halfway around the world. They can explode that anywhere, and it's not going to make any difference. It would be a lot better if they did drop it here, but it'll be so shocking to the rest of the world that they exploded something like that on any kind of population. It's going to be really bad, really bad.
It would have its intended effect to inflict terror, and the only way you're gonna have to you know deter that is to fight it with fire. I'm not saying use an equal 10 megaton bomb, but you would have to make sure that you sent the right message. You know, when you're dealing with these type folks, with this type mentality, the only way that you're going to show yourself, you know, to be strong is to do exactly what they do. You know, you can't be weak with these guys. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, but what guys are you talking about? I mean, if you hadn't started messing with these folks, you know, it's kind of remind me of the Bubbles and the Bubbles and McCoys, or the Coys and the Hatfields. What's that? Them two families.
The Hatfield and McCoys.
Hatfields and McCoys. Yeah, once you start the fight, they don't never end. Remember that movie, Southern Comfort?
Yeah, but Bianchi, what you got is you got someone that because of their religion, and if you don't believe the way they believe, they kill you.
Yeah, but well, you shouldn't mess with them.
Mess with them? You're leaving your own existence.
You shouldn't have messed with those folks. Leave them alone. They're over there doing what they're doing.
No. Here's the thing. If you've got a radical and he comes to the United States and he says, "Well, I am Muslim, and if you don't believe the way I believe, you die."
Yeah, well, I don't think that they came to the United States and said that. You're trying to say that here we go arguing, rehashing the argument about the 9/11.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and guess who's in the studio with us?
Me, Steve.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm good.
And the number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic today, so we will go anyway. We'll bounce around a whole lot, I'm quite sure. But Steve is in the studio, and we have the Steve and Diva hookup.
Now we just need Tracy's boo to walk in through the door. We already have a packed house, so now
which
we just
need
one? Tracy's boo.
Which one?
What are you trying to say, Jeff?
Huh? Oh, I got notes. I just want a payday.
Oh, here, hold on. Hold on. Get my purse.
Hey,
what you say, man?
Tracy, I don't know what to say. Everybody's been in the studio now except for me in Alabama.
And make
a trip up.
That's because you guys won't come up.
Y'all better get in that 4x4 and roll.
Nah, we ain't rolling. Nah,
Alabama
look.
Alabama said if I keep on playing happy, he's going to come up here and bust me in the head.
To the white meat show.
Right.
Yeah, that hurt.
So,
can
I
I'm
ask Diva a question?
But I ain't getting busted in the head. You can ask Diva anything you'd like.
All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, Diva, what's your level of uncomfortability right now?
She is behaving.
Hey, Steve, please tell me, Steve, you didn't come with nothing in your hand, bro. Please tell me you got something.
Yeah, he didn't come with no flowers, no chocolate.
Oh, but you don't understand. He walked here. Don't trip.
Hey.
There's a couple stores on the way. The last one being he could have went right inside of Walgreens.
Not Family Dollar. That's Dollar General.
Oh, yeah, Dollar General. You're right. But Walgreens would have been better.
Right. Jeff, turn his mic up for me.
A single flower. I don't care if it's plastic.
Hey, Steve. This is going to save you. This is going to be your saving grace, man. Go to your pocket. Go to your hip, man. Pull out a 20.
I got a question. Now, hold on. I got a question. Does Steve look anything like you thought he would?
No. Nothing like that.
Diva? Does Diva look anything like you thought she would?
No. Very attractive, young lady.
See that? You know, it's a really amazing
house. She don't sound attractive on the phone, huh?
I guess that's what he's trying to say.
Work it out, brother. Work it out.
Same person.
No, I'm losing my answers because a lot of times, you know, when you meet people and you hear their voices and you don't see their face, you expect for them to look a certain way. And when you meet them, it's like they really don't look like you thought.
Yes, like Ben.
Ben doesn't look like you.
No.
What do you think Ben looked like?
Not at all.
Ben needs a tan.
Yes.
Bad.
Yes. I didn't expect such a white man.
Yeah, Ben needs a tan.
Being, you know, part Italian, part Syrian, you'd think I'd be a little darker, don't you?
Something's wrong.
Oh, wow,
I think they found you, and then you got adopted.
Uh-huh.
He got adopted because, I mean,
I may be Irish after all.
I told you St. Pat was a black man.
I think he was an Italian.
I'm telling you he was a black man.
Nobody wants to go for that one.
They don't want to believe me. Hold on. 314? 314, your mic is on. I think that's Pianchi.
314.
Okay, that's Eric.
Oh, okay, that's Eric. Okay.
The 314 is Pianchi, isn't it?
I don't know. I can't tell anybody anymore. Can you all hear us in the chat room?
Yeah, they can hear us in the chat room. South Carolina's out there because he won't come up and visit. Stanley's out there because he created a mess last hour.
Well, the United States is evil.
Matt's out there because Matt hasn't talked about politics, so I got to let Matt in so he can get his political feel out since he's been working. Hey, Matt.
Well, hey, Tracy. I don't know. We were talking about the plane before, but Steve came into studio. I can see Diva's blush from here in Stowe, and so I thought you might want to go with that for a little while.
Nah, it can only go for so long that it'll get stale.
Like the peanuts.
I don't know.
I just want to know though, is there a love connection?
No, I'll put it out there. No.
Y'all gonna get me in trouble. Y'all do know I'm no longer single, right?
Well, you know you're single. You're just dating.
Okay. Yes, I'm no longer available.
She's dating. She found her.
That's her
a date.
Jeff calls me.
Is he listening?
I hope not.
Tell him he'll be all right. She found herself a date.
Better
than
she didn't. Him. He found me.
No, she did.
A long time ago.
She got herself a date. So, what'd you say, Jeff?
When you're fishing, you know, when you're fishing.
Uh-huh.
Some of them need to throw back.
Are you saying that I'm the fish that he's fishing?
No.
He's playing catch and release.
Jeff.
I'm telling you.
Oh, are you saying I'm fishing?
Are you
saying I'm playing catch and release?
Watch what I say.
No.
Oh, hey, my words are coming out my mouth now. watch what I say.
Why do you say I'm fishing?
No.
I'm not saying you're fishing.
That's not what she's saying. No, Jeff. The number's 347. No.
It ain't real.
How do you know it ain't real, Jeff? How do you know that ain't real? You ain't met the brother?
I don't have to.
Oh, he's not a brother.
Why ain't he a brother? I don't care. I got white brothers and sisters, too.
He ain't white.
He ain't a brother?
No, he's not a brother.
What is he?
She's a. I told you.
Hold on, Jeff.
It depends. If you're talking about a Christian brother, yes, he is. But if you're talking about a brother no.
But I have white brothers.
He's as pale as
Christian.
Ben.
A Christian what?
Him a brother for real, right?
Is he as white as St. Patrick?
He a little bit tastier. St. Patrick is black.
Right.
And the green one is red. And Diva.
What?
I call Ben a brother, so you know, and Ben is light. White.
Okay.
Ben, I'm gonna get you some sun. You know they got spray on them, right?
That's orange.
Do you ever tan?
Well, you know, my farm has it out the window when I'm driving. Gets tan.
Now he shows up.
Oh, that was Pianki, so I was not crazy. Hi, Pianki, how are you?
You know, how y'all doing? You know, I was looking at the news article on the Crimea votes, and they show little old ladies coming out of the voting booth, and guess what they got in their hand? Photo ID.
That's because they're trying to suppress the vote.
You have to identify yourself in the Ukraine to vote? Wow.
Photo ID they've got in their hand, something that Obama just despised.
I don't think – see, here's my thing. It's all politics on either side. And if you think that it's not, either both sides are trying to suppress the opposition's vote and get their votes out there. But when you look at it, it's not just the fact of dealing with voter ID and just ID per se. It's certain states are just taking it a little too far.
Okay, voter ID is taking it too far?
No, taking it too far is requiring only certain ID and no longer allowing people to use maybe their college ID, but you're allowed to use your CCW.
Can I ask you a
question? Allowed to use your hunting license.
Okay, let me ask you this. State of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the voter suppression?
I would have to say it was the voting machines that we had to deal with
in 2008. No. I'm talking about 2012.
But it all started coming out after 2008.
No, it came out in 2006. So let's go. It started with 2006 after Bush. It didn't start with Clinton.
You're right.
Tell me, where is the voter suppression in 2012?
Show me voter fraud, and I'll show you voter suppression.
There was none.
Okay.
Well, I can show you a lot of voter fraud. What did that do with voter suppression?
There's a lot of voter fraud.
Very few.
Dead people come to the polls all the time.
Very few that they catch. The problem is you have, once again, 13 million people in this country that this stupid behind country gives ID.
I said Ohio. I didn't go countrywide.
Once again.
What is going on?
13. He had to see it for himself.
I figured.
He had to see it for himself.
He looks how I thought he was going.
13 million. Come in here and tell her something.
Listen, if it was up to me, the best way for voter suppression is for Republicans to charge ID or have a IQ test.
Where are you going?
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Hold on, Ben. Where are you going?
I'm gonna give.
No. We can't. No. We're diverse. We're diverse here. We're gonna be really diverse here today. Don't trip. We got no. This is how America looks. You got two women, two white guys, and we're.
And we got four
and
guys here, and we're still outnumbered. Four.
My God.
We're still outnumbered.
No, seriously. Now look at the diversity of this room.
Oh, yeah, we're at number
this room is so diverse. This looks like America here.
Ebony and ivory.
No. I'm still outnumbered because I think I'm the only liberal.
No, you're Steve.
Steve, you're a liberal?
Yes.
Okay. Steve's a bleeding heart, too.
So three, so, four liberals.
Who's four?
He's talking about my three personalities.
No,
we got six conservatives.
I mean, we got...
That's a full room here.
It's getting crowded in there.
She may be quadruple four. Maybe the eighth of
Ben, I'm going to listen here.
Yes.
Going to get your pay, Doc.
That's right. You're not going to get your paycheck this Friday.
That's all right. I got to go to the tanning booth now.
You know, they got DuPont. DuPont got tanning.
Yes, Styx is marketing you.
That's because Styx works outside
in the sun.
Oh, okay.
And the number 347-945-5279. Now, seriously, look how diverse
six
this room is.
Six of straight green acres is the place for me. Far living is the life for me.
Yeah, he got it.
Spreading out.
Slick
so
is the man.
No, wait a minute. I got a question.
Got in the
is this not diverse? I mean, we've got two men, three men, four men, two women.
Like we said, six to four.
Uh-huh. You got country living, city living.
That's right.
Black, white, you got all types of diversity.
City, country, city.
You got
the,
lowest of IQs and the highest of IQs up in there.
Absolutely. And I'm one of the lowest.
Sounds like a party in there to me.
It's kind of tough in here.
Yeah, now we're just waiting on you, Eric.
Eric got to come all the way from Warren. He'll never make it before we get done with the show today.
It took me 20 minutes to get here.
Not from Warren.
I was in Nile.
He's in Warren. Hey, yeah. Steve, do you have an ID? Do you drive? I know that.
You don't have an ID?
Yes, Steve's got an ID. Do you drive?
No, I do not.
So you have an ID and you don't drive?
No.
Jeff, is this flippy switch up?
Yeah, he is. He's off.
Hold that mic up.
How about
Steve,
that?
I can't hear you.
Talk a little louder, sir.
So you have an ID, right?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
See what I'm saying?
He's overcome with emotion.
How many people do not have an ID at all?
Is your ID current or is it expired?
It's my ID. I got it renewed in 2011. So
okay,
like
I know plenty of people.
And don't take an expired ID.
Yeah, my ID will expire as soon as my birthday gets here when I turn.
Okay. What's so funny? Do share with us, Tracy.
Oh, Mark Mangi said don't forget him.
Come on, Mark.
He's in a
Come
meeting.
On down.
He said he's in a meeting, but remember him.
Like this. Come on, Mark. Come on down. What do you think happened over that?
Hey, Ben, you've really changed.
Yes. Gained 30 pounds.
Got a little tan?
Yeah.
Eyes went blue?
Yeah.
Got some hair?
Yeah.
Whoa, stuff is tough around here. How you doing, Sid?
Oh, good.
God, he's so adorable.
Who?
Sid. No. He's just so adorable. Sorry, Mrs. Sticks, but he's so adorable.
She called you adorable.
Oh,
what are you doing here? I got a text from you.
You can't block her on Facebook now.
I had a little issue this weekend, and I've just been in the most amazing medical system in the world. Called my doctor at 7:30. I was sitting in his office at 9:45. I walked out at 11 o'clock with had seen the doctor, had an EKG, and a clean bill of health.
Check that out.
Don't count on that happening 6 months from now.
No, you
gotta watch
it.
They should have you putting up
them
blue signs in your yard.
Let me tell you what's going to happen, Jeff.
Uh-huh.
It won't be now. It won't happen until.
Do you find yourself?
It won't happen until next year.
After the presidential election.
No. Because not enough people are actually on the Affordable Health Care Act right now.
Well, yeah, of course.
Remember, the rolls are going to close the 31st.
Yeah, but don't forget, too, the only people that are really signing up are ones that either you don't have pot or window or you lost your health care because of the plan coming into effect.
No, listen to what I'm saying. Let me finish my statement.
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
The 31st, the window is going to close. You won't be able to sign up.
Okay.
When you go into the hospital after or have an emergency care after the 31st, the quality of care that you used to get prior to is not going to be the same as post. That's number one. You're going to go out and try to get insurance after that, and you're not going to be able to go inside of the window because the window will be closed for the exchange. And so it will not open again until September.
But what are they going to do with all the people that file for hardship waivers? Because that's in the law. I just found that out this weekend.
But that was after.
No. You can go file for a hardship waiver right now, and now they've broadened the definition of hardship.
Correct.
Hardship waiver to I can't afford to pay for Obamacare.
But what I'm saying is you still can't go into the exchange until September now after
right.
the 31st. You're going to have people who think that they can walk inside the exchange after the 31st and they're not going to be able to do so.
Unless you have
– You lost your job.
You lost
your job.
Insurance.
But we're talking about
they broadened it.
What?
They broadened it. What? The hardship waiver thing.
No, we're not talking about hardship. We're talking about you can't walk. You cannot walk into the exchange except for two things.
Okay.
If that be the case, and you still have millions of people who are supposed to be signing up, and then next year when they go to do their taxes, they're going to have either this 1% or this $94 or $84 per person.
That was 95.
Okay, 95 per person who that's going to
come. Or 1%, though.
Or whichever is the highest. They're not going to find that out until next year.
Right.
Then you're going to have a problem because they're going to start signing up. Then you're going to have a problem, and then it's going to be 12 months from today where everybody's going to hate the Affordable Health Care Act for real.
Would it be cheaper to, if you're generally healthy, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but if you're generally healthy, not in need of health care, was cheaper paying for a health care plan that you're not going to normally use or paying the $95?
No, it's $95 per person in your household.
Oh, I mean, if you got kids.
Or 1%. Or 1% of your income, whichever is highest.
If it's $30,000, then
I'm pretty sure for most American people who are on the, it'll be that.
No.
It's based on household income.
Household income.
Right. So you got two $35,000 couples. That's $70,000 income.
And
right.
You also have to understand that the median income
is $700.
In the state of Ohio is $32,000. That's just is the median income here. That's not in other states.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. I'm going off
that's
of
pretty good for a
median
person.
Income. That $95 is more likely going to be the highest.
No,
for
per
a
person. Family of four, that's $300 and some.
If you have children in your home and you do not have some type of insurance for them and have them covered, then something is wrong with
you. They've been doing it for years and been going on without no insurance.
And not only that, the big thing about people aren't going to use the emergency rooms anymore, I'm starting to find out that people are now getting insurance. So now I got insurance, I'm going to go to the emergency room.
Oh, they've been doing that anyhow.
Why when you go to the doctor?
Because they don't know any better. That comes from ignorance. But my issue is, if the administration wanted everyone to be on, then you would have thought where they would have sent you out and noticed in the mail to every household, to every taxpayer, to everyone in America saying you need to sign up at www.healthgov.com.
Not only that, we learned Wednesday that I didn't know that you could go through a private agency.
They sent none of
why
that
would you ever go on a website if you couldn't go to a private agency?
They did talk about the
Siva.
No. What do they call? Navigators. They
that's
did
not
talk
who
about
this guy is. This guy
he's
is.
He's not a navigator.
No,
he's a private insurance agent.
Right.
And
it costs the exact same amount of money to go through him as it does to go on.
All
internet.
He's doing is signing you up for
it doesn't matter.
Healthcare.gov.
He looks at your stuff and he tells you what you need.
Doesn't
right.
matter. They don't want you.
He just do it for you, so you
Diva,
don't do it yourself.
They don't want you on there because if they did, they would have mailed something into everybody's mailbox through the federal post office. It's not like they don't own it.
You're correct. I don't recall.
So tell me why they did not send everyone who is an American citizen to every household saying to go to www.healthcare.gov or you can go to a private agent or you can go here. Tell me, is that rocket science or am I just thinking of this naively?
I always think that they're thinking of new age technology. Most people
no, they're not.
Find out through social media.
Did you get a text message?
Yeah, I did get it. I got a text message.
From
I
who?
Got an email.
You got an email
I got
from
an
who?
Email from about health. I did get
you got
email.
It from Obamacare. Or from the Obama site, but you did not get one. They don't have everyone's email address. Why did they not do this the conventional way like they do everything else? Go ahead, South Carolina.
Well, Tracy, one of the independent persons that's signing up people, they're making anywhere from $8 to $12 a person. So for everyone that they sign up.
And right now it's double because insurance agents are paying double the amount of people that are signing up.
Well, and the thing is, I keep talking about underserved people. I was just talking to my regular insurance agent this weekend. You'd be surprised. Always talking about the elderly. Elderly people don't do computers.
No, they don't. Not they play games, solitaire. They
nope.
may get on Facebook.
If they'll do that.
Did you see the commercial
yes.
with the lady with the old lady who got her Facebook her
yeah,
phone?
Oh, yeah.
There.
I'm on Facebook.
She confronted everybody.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works. Oh,
so
I don't know what commercial you guys are.
Oh,
it's a wonderful commercial.
God,
this is an insurance commercial.
It's an older
insurance
lady.
Commercial.
And she puts
making
all her
fun of the Geico.
She got all of her friends
all of her pictures
on the wall. just like you post them on a page.
Uh-huh. And one of them was there talking to her, and she said, "Well, I unfriend you because they disagree."
And she pulled the thing off the wall.
But what does this say about our society, though? Because now there's a Geico commercial out there for M&M's. Excuse me, M&M's commercial using the Geico lizard and the Geico.
It's called cross merchandising.
I mean, what's that say of our society when the
big
stuff
bus
is becoming an icon?
Hey, private caller, your mic is on. Who's out there? Hello? You hit the button.
Yeah, it's me, Trace. I'm just listening right now. I'm just listening to y'all.
Hey, good morning, Marilyn. I'm just saying, you know, I'm just saying, they lied.
Remember,
they lied. When?
Today or last night.
Did they really?
Didn't you all get about 5-6 inches of snow? Marilyn.
He left the building.
Okay.
Yeah, it's snowing right now, Jeff. Did y'all get some?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, look at that.
No,
right,
no,
yeah.
We're clear.
No, we clean. We clean and cold.
Thank God. Oh, yeah, look at that.
That's ugly. But I just wanted to say,
they
need
to get.
That's true, too. They need to get a whole new administration, but that's a whole other issue. But I'm looking at the Affordable Health Care Act. Tell me why they did not do that to people.
They're not going to, you know, they're just about ready to wipe out these insurance companies without ever having to pay them in the first place.
Yeah, I think you're going to end up with a big three. I think that was the plan all along.
I think the plan all along was
to destroy all the insurance companies that couldn't float the note on this bill for 6 or 8 months or a year, and they put backdoor single payer in the law.
Absolutely.
So that you're going to get reimbursed for all the Obamacare losses. So we're going to bankrupt all the small companies, and we're going to be leaving you with two or three big ones, probably Kaiser, United Healthcare.
But Kaiser's private.
The progressive
but
way.
These are private insurance companies.
No, Kaiser's private.
Kaiser Permanente.
Kaiser Permanente
was like Blue Cross Blue Shield.
No, Kaiser has its own network. If you have Kaiser insurance, you go to a Kaiser hotel.
Kaiser hospital.
That's what it is. I mean, it's a private. If I have Blue Cross Blue Shield, I can't go to Kaiser unless it's, you know, to patch me
more
up.
More likely be United, Blue Cross Blue Shield.
And Medical Mutual.
What about, so they no longer have Aetna, or is Aetna now?
Aetna's in there. But I really don't believe they've thought that through.
I think they completely thought it through. I just think
that their plan is they're looking at the future more so as far as single payer goes than anything else.
So why didn't they not tell the American, if they wanted everyone to be on by the 31st of March, and the only place that they put it was on the news and in social media and on the radio maybe, tell me why is it that they think that?
Because here's my thing. I think that they think that people are going to complain so much about this whole ACA thing that they're going to be more accepting for single payer in the future.
Exactly.
I think you misjudged the American.
No,
people.
I think it's going to create just the opposite effect. I really do.
Okay.
Well,
everybody that I know has experienced an increase in their health care, and the ones that don't have health care are screaming that there is no way that they're going to make them pay for it. They're not going to buy something that they don't want to buy. And maybe that may be a regional thing for us folks here in South Carolina, but I'm just hearing it all around me. You're not gonna make me do something that I don't want to do.
I'm just reading a post right now from my dear beloved cousin. I will not give any names to. He said, "So Obamacare will be about $250 a month. I thought it was supposed to be cheaper." He's young, he's healthy.
He's got kids.
He's single and he works.
Wow. And this is what I'm saying. When people are going to start complaining about the cost of stuff now, and this is supposed to be a system that was supposed to make the insurance rates cheaper, when people have to start paying for stuff, especially when they didn't expect to pay so much, they're going to be more
susceptible to something being cheaper. But you're talking about people that were paying before. Now they just have to pay more.
Right.
What'd you say?
And they're going to want to go back to what they had before.
Hold on. You can't go back.
You can't go back.
Right.
Because remember, now you have to be covered for pregnancy.
Oh, that's right.
Now you have to be covered. Now, I mean, but
how do they
get rid of pre-existing conditions?
No, no, no.
Stuff.
Pre-existing conditions could have been done with a stroke of
it
a pen. And they could have done that long time ago.
And it was started.
But everything else that they've done, this is ludicrous.
It was started and it wasn't promoted with the high-risk pools. That was in the process. In fact, our insurance agent we had here said the high-risk pools were working into the point where they were going to be very affordable for people in your situation, Trace.
I got my own insurance. Go ahead, Stanley. No, I'm sorry. I think that was Stanley, wasn't it?
For a while,
Trace.
I'm
not going anywhere. I'm not moving.
Mike, Tracy.
Go ahead, Mike. Good morning.
Here's what nobody's talking about, and they're all missing. First of all, they've already established the concept of too big to fail when they bailed out the banks. So Styx is right. This is going to come down to a handful of large insurance companies under the same doctrine. Now, they may not call it the same name because it met resistance, but it's the same practice they're going to put in place. The second thing is they railed against these inferior policies, the government did. You know, these catastrophic health care only. Well, with the deductibles that they have put in place that you have to meet before you can get any coverage by the health care you're buying now, these are highly priced, way over the top, expensive, catastrophic care only policies anyway. When somebody's got to meet a $6,000 a year deductible before the policy kicks in, you know that's where all the money for my little flu, my little backache, and all that kind of money is going to go. These are quasi-catastrophic policies only. And what they're counting on is, Carolina said, they are counting on the fact that most people will say, I ain't doing this. You'll pay the fine, and what you have then done is you have funded all the low-information, give-me-something voters that they need to keep getting reelected. And
that's,
you're paying
that's
for it.
All
when you
about.
Resist getting in this system, you've given them what they really want. They don't want you with a policy if you're a person of means.
I think there's a significant number of middle-income families in this country that will go concierge. They will give up something else
exactly.
to not have
and
to
they,
go into this system. They will give up
and they
something
will pay the fine.
So that when I call my doctor at 7:30 in the morning,
hold
I'm sitting
on,
in his
Mike,
office
you're
at
letting
9:45.
Finish. Go ahead. Yeah.
They will give up something else so that I can still call my doctor at 7:30 and be sitting in his office at 9:45.
I don't think they'll be able to because concierge service will only give you so much.
Hold on, Mike.
It will only give you so much because you still have to have something because you have to have what they call hospitalization. Concierge service because if there's a mandate that you have to be covered by certain things, then those things will be covered, and they don't. I don't know where it shows you where you can preempt out of it because right now, if you go to an emergency room, if you get in a car accident and you go to an emergency room, you're not going to be calling your concierge doctor.
But that's covered by your auto insurance.
Yeah, that is covered by your auto insurance. And to the insurance guy we had in here said the HSA system is still available.
Right, but you could. Oh, but you
with catastrophic care.
But only if. You actually are a part. You can be a part of it. You really can't really just jump in there.
I thought he said that
you just can't go and sign up
now with the catastrophic
and medical savings account. You can't just jump in.
HSA. Yeah, you
got to have a high deductible.
If you do not have a high
deductible, you cannot have an HSA.
If you're employed and you don't have and your employer doesn't, there's certain rules.
Right, and what I'm saying, the rules exclude.
If you've got
rules,
traditional insurance, you're not eligible for an HSA with high deductible.
But what I'm saying is, but if you have so many rules that exclude you from where you are, if there's a huge pool of people that won't be able to play inside of that. And then you have to have hospitalization. And you said, well, my car insurance will cover that. No, my car insurance only covers me to a certain point.
See, all these questions, confusions, and all this other stuff, I'm telling you, this is going to lead them to push for single-payer.
And nationalized health care would be the demise of America.
I'm not saying yay or nay about that, but all I'm saying is what I'm seeing in the bigger picture, the bigger scheme of things, that originally it has always been the liberal plan to have universal health care.
But what I'm saying is,
they compromise at the moment to get what they want in the long run.
But my question is, who was going to pay for the free?
that's neither here nor there. I mean, I get what you're saying, but Tracy, that's neither here nor there. The fact is that all this is just going to lead to one thing. Everybody's asking why they did this, why they did that. The simple fact is the liberal plan has always been universal health care.
So my question
this
is, who's going to pay for it? Yeah, go ahead, Eric.
The taxpayer.
Well, the taxpayer is going to pay, Tracy. Everybody's going to pay for it. That's it.
Have you seen the taxes that you're going to be paying for that?
But
I mean, can you imagine? And then
yes,
you're going to be paying
but
for
Tracy,
hold on.
I wouldn't mind giving up.
I wouldn't mind doing
South
that.
Tax
I'm sorry.
They're not going to give up that.
Not only that, it's nowhere near enough to do anything about it.
I think maximum taxes in England are something like 85%.
I mean, no, you have to realize America is not built. If America were to start over that way, it may work.
Australia has a tax system where if you make less than $16,000, you pay zero in taxes.
Do you know how much?
There's two people in Australia.
That's
all that is.
I remember millionaires
are
affordable.
I think their top tax rate is 49, 50.
But still, do you know how expensive it is in Australia?
It can go from 18 to 35%.
Do you know how expensive it is in Australia?
I've never been, but I would love to go.
And Canada, even if you have, even with their insurance there, mm-hmm. the waiting list for what you need. Is
right.
not where we are
you
right
do
now.
You guys keep talking about this.
Stanley, can you?
Did you hear what I did this morning?
What did
Were
you do?
Listening? I had a problem this weekend, a medical problem. I called my doctor's office at 7:30. At 9:45, I was sitting in his office. At 11 o'clock, I walked out of his office. I'd had blood work. I'd seen the doctor and had an EKG. Can you do that in Canada?
No.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
Wait.
What do you mean you can't and everything? I know a friend of mine.
It takes you 30 to 45 days, Stanley, to get into a regular doctor in Canada.
No, it wasn't. It was not an emergency care.
This was my personal family physician.
Exactly.
I did hear from
some
other emergency that it does take a long
Stanley,
time to see a regular practitioner.
The United States has been known for having the best health care, even if we don't have access to it in the world.
Even though it's expensive.
Highest cancer survival rates on the planet.
We do. I mean, and our research and our technology is just beyond light years.
Hold on, Stanley.
But we need to realize... When you start right now, when you start naturalizing and making it non-competitive, that's what you're doing.
Just one
you're
sentence,
going,
Tracy. Sorry, I just wanted to interrupt with just one sentence. In England, I have friends in England, and their health care system is very similar
did
to
I
Canada.
Did I miss this one sentence
Even
point?
They refer to it as broken bones only.
Did
that's
I miss
what
it,
you get
did
treated
I,
for immediately. Everything
Mike,
else
Mike, did I miss
for.
Mike, did I yeah. miss the one sentence? You did two sentences. That was
well,
a paragraph.
That was the one sentence, broken bones medicine. That's what they call it.
But what
listen,
everyone that I know who has nationalized medicine mm-hmm. in other countries
is unhappy
unless they have wealth.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but
the only thing that makes you different is money, because when you look at concierge service, cash will still be king and corruption will definitely come into play.
I have a question. Okay, because this waiting list is waiting time. The only reason why that happens is because you have so many people who partake in the insurance, getting insurance and able to go to doctors. Are you guys saying that that's a bad thing? Like
yes.
that's a problem
that's
for you?
Because you're not prepared for it. There on multiple levels, this healthcare program, America is not prepared for. They don't want you on all at one time because they did not prepare to have you on. They told you they couldn't tell you they couldn't read the bill until they passed the bill, which was the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
They put together this 1,800 page bill of hogmash. All they had to do was tort reform and regulate the insurance companies and make sure that everyone has access and open up the borders where there would be allowed to be a common transfer of insurance agencies between state lines.
So instead of the Republicans in the House trying to repeal Obamacare for the 50th time, why don't they do something
hold on,
to try to
we're working on. We're, hold on, we're working on that. Because
but,
remember,
but
they, hold on, Stanley. They're working on that, but you have to understand, they do things, and I'll probably talk about this tomorrow. Republicans have a really bad way of doing anything, and I've got a Facebook friend, and the points that she makes out, as correct as she may be, would become salty even in my mouth, and I'm a conservative.
All I'm saying is the GOP has the power in the House to do something,
no, no,
but
no.
they're doing
they
nothing.
No, 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 that's not true.
Wait a
Everything
minute.
They send to the Senate gets tabled.
Okay, no, no, no. Right now, listen to me. They are they've not come out with a compromise bill. They
yes,
have not. No, they
can't.
They have not come out with any type of fixes.
They
yes,
can.
They can come, but they can pass.
But you haven't heard about it.
But they can pass the
law right now, Diva. If they pass the law right now, remember my background is in health insurance. If they pass the law right now that allowed the cross interstate sale of insurance, the way Tracy recommends,
I don't care.
They still
I don't care
are stuck
if they
with the mandates of Obamacare.
Listen,
they can't buy those policies directly.
Just can I say? Just can I
wait?
Wait, Tracy. You guys jumped all over me, and I didn't get to finish what I was saying. All I'm saying is that I don't care if they couldn't get a bill passed through the Senate. Do something other than for the 50th time trying to repeal the
okay,
whole
Diva,
thing.
Okay, Diva, the problem is it's now law. Hold on, Stanley. It's
you can
now,
still
no, 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 no. See, let me show you two things wrong, and I'm going to let Stanley in. The problem is it's now law. You cannot just change law because you want to change law without going through the repercussions of law. So to repeal it, you need to dial it back, repeal it, and start over again. Now, that's issue number one. Secondly, the President of the United States is out of order with all of the waivers and all this stuff because he's legislating law from his pen, and that's not how you fix this. It's a bad law. It's a bad piece of law. It's a tax mandate. It's a bad piece of law, and you cannot just change law because you say, oops, they made a mistake. That's not how the law
that's
works.
That's all it was anyway, was
no,
a tax
can't.
Mandate.
You can.
No, you can't.
Yeah, you can.
How can you do that?
How many times have they gone back and corrected something?
Because those were executive orders. They were not laws.
No. Tell me, what are you referring to?
When you pass a law saying the speed limit is 55, you have to, in effect, you have to repeal that law if you want to change the speed limit to 65. You have to repeal the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit and institute a new law that says
you're going to go
the 75. Speed limit is 75.
But you just can't go in and say, I think it's a good idea on one side and say, okay, we're going to change
right.
it. That's where the balance of power loses.
It can all be done in the same document. The law may say we are going to do away with the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit and create a new 75-mile-an-hour speed limit. But you cannot say, without repealing Obamacare and instituting a new law, you cannot change the law.
What is their health care plan attached to the repealing?
They had several health care plans, including HSAs, including across the state, including
tort reform.
All of these things were at the time they were bringing us Obamacare, and they were all rejected by the president saying, elections have consequences.
Yeah, they were.
And
the
if you
recall, the Republicans were completely excluded from all the meetings when Obamacare was
they
being
sure
written.
Were.
Again, in
That's
2010,
right.
in 2010, the Republicans won the House. They have a majority.
Hold on.
So they can pass any bill they want.
But
I don't care if it doesn't get to the Senate and gets tabled.
No.
I want to see something other than them killing it and have nothing behind it.
But you cannot, listen, you cannot get it through committee. You cannot get it to the floor. And when they've gotten it to the floor, if it doesn't go to the House, it's a dead deal.
Senate.
So you mean to tell me they can get a repeal bill through committee but into the floor, but they cannot get their health care bill
because
through committee into
no,
the floor?
Because you can't change the law. You can't until you stop the law. There's too much in it. We need to go through this line by line, but you can't just change the law because you want to change it.
They passed the repeal bill.
No.
Why do they not pass their health care bill at
you
the same time?
You can't.
Oh, okay.
Because we have another one instituted.
Okay.
Because Harry Reid won't let it
go
come to the floor of the Senate.
No.
I don't care about it getting to the Senate.
You got
to.
No.
That's the only way
it
comes.
Let me say this. And your liberal media will not necessarily let you know what's going on in the House.
And it might have happened so many times they wouldn't report on it.
You have to understand, you can't even, as a matter of fact, you have to realize you can't even get invited to speak on television from the House or from the Senate unless you're invited to the well by the media. You just don't go up there and just start talking. And I had to learn that. I was in D.C., and they were like, if you think that we just can go there, we just can't. We can't go until you invite us. That's why you never hear about what's going on with the Congressional Black Caucus.
You mean to tell me John Boehner can't go up to a mic and say, look, I got something I want to say, Paul,
no.
Ryan.
No,
he can't. Tracy, let me interject something, and then I got to go.
I'm not talking about the well of the House.
No.
I'm talking about
Period.
The media.
No.
Listen, just look in the very recent past, we saw this government shut down. We saw the Republicans come up, try to strong arm and ask for a full repeal. They were knocked back by the Senate and said that's not going to happen. So then they came with another bill saying, well, you know what, let's start looking at some of what the bill and what we can take out of the bill and rework the bill. Senate said no. Harry Reid said, go screw yourself. So they go back, and then they said, well, let's sit down and come to a compromise. The Senate would not hear it. They would not sit down with them. This was just a couple months ago. So what we're looking at is the House has absolutely no power. It doesn't matter what they put, what they try to write into law, what they try to pass as legislation. It doesn't matter. The liberal left is in control. And until they're out of control, they're going to be able to push and pass whatever the heck they want. I got to go, guys. I'll talk to you. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Go ahead, Stanley.
The problem is, I heard one stat that I don't agree when you said that basically socialized country are less than Americans. I'm sorry. If you go to the stats and they've done the stats, doesn't confirm what you're saying. All the stats says that socialized medicine, socialized country have a higher life expectancy than us. Basically,
I didn't say life expectancy. I did not say life expectancy. I said the health care system. I did not say life expectancy. Eastern medicine is different than Western medicine. Remember,
I'm talking about socialized country that use medicine. Canada, Germany, France, England, Denmark.
You didn't hear what I said.
I said the health care system
in the country. Ours is the best.
We don't have the best healthcare system. I'm sorry, we don't.
Yes, we don't have the best.
No, we don't.
Yes, South Carolina.
Listen, you know, when I hear people talking about making comparisons between socialized nations, you're talking about Canada. You're talking about, you know, countries like Sweden and Denmark and Finland and all the rest of those countries who have national health care. The biggest problem that you have is they have a minute number of people compared to the United States. You're talking 12 million people versus 308 million people.
There's a big difference
when you try to implement something of that size.
But by the same token, I'm sorry, it's either we are the best country when it comes to health care or we're not.
We're not.
In Sweden, they have the highest suicide rate in the world. They're not counting those deaths in either.
They're not counting. We have a higher murder rate in the United States than all other countries. We also have a higher suicide rate. We also have one of the four highest rates of survival for cancer in the world.
Can I say this?
Amen.
So let me say it this way. When I say health care, the quality of health care that you have accessible to you if you have the funding here in America is the best in the world. You cannot.
That's not true.
That is true. And hold on, Bianchi. Let me also say this. You just put Costa Rica and the Dominica in there. I have friends at this present time who are flying back from the Dominica Republic and they went over there on a mission trip to help them with hearing aids because of the poverty level there that people do not have access to health care. At least here, if you need health care, if you need access to it, even if you're poor, you can get it.
Can I please add this, please? And this is what you have to understand, Stanley. First of all, just like you had Big Boy go down to Cuba and say how great their health care system is.
Michael Moore.
Now, he goes down there with this so-called documentary and all this foolish information he brings back.
You mean sicko?
Whatever his name. He is a sicko. But anyway, here you got him doing this down there. Okay, and then they find out that there's three tiers of health care and that the people on the bottom do not get health care like everybody else does. 41% of people in Canada can see their doctors in one day. Hold on. Okay, because 41%, okay? That's very low as a thing to do what Stix just said he did, within one day's time. 11% aren't able to get their prescriptions filled a certain way. 33% don't have access to lab
and all these other things, the things that they run the test on to save your life to find out whether you're sick. Don't believe the stupidity of these idiots that want to destroy the United States.
I'm not believing the stupidity, but don't act like
that.
No, you're
believing,
believing
hype, Stanley.
Stanley, there are more MRI machines in the state of Ohio than the entire nation of Canada.
Okay, wait a minute. If we're
going to
go stat, if we're going to go stat for stat, I'm sorry. If you don't have insurance in the United States, you're done. Good luck.
No, you're not.
Wait. Can I finish? Can I finish?
You're not. But listen, Stanley. Listen, I don't only have 6 minutes before I have to go, and I'll be back tomorrow. But you are incorrect. Because now let me say this. As of the 31st of March, you may be right. Because on the 31st of March, the laws that applied to health care will be changed.
He will extend it again, Tracy.
He may extend it again, but you have to understand.
But the poor
it may
has
be,
had
hold on.
For 50 years.
The power
and
my,
I will have to say Stanley's correct. Depending on what type of health care coverage you have in this country,
Diva.
If you don't have any,
you're done.
Stanley is correct.
True, because
true,
that treats you free.
You're
done.
You are so
poor
so and not
working.
You are mistaken.
You're done. I'm sorry.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Ask me. Answer the question to me. You just came out the hospital.
No, I didn't just come out
the hospital. 6 months ago.
Last year.
Did you have health insurance?
No.
Were you taken care of?
I was taken care of.
Hold on,
My Medicaid
was
taken care of.
No, I don't care.
I was taken care of very well.
Very well.
And how much do you owe right now?
Hold on. Did you get all your medications?
Yes, I did.
Were you poor?
Yes, I was.
Guess what?
But the thing
case
was,
in point.
Hold up, Steve. Wait a minute. That's
hold
not
on.
The case in point, Tracy.
There's some reason why that was all because my Medicaid application was in the process.
I don't care.
It doesn't matter.
Because if you go inside of there and your Medicaid is not in the process, they will still take care of you.
Right, because Medicaid will still pay them
if you're crazy enough to go to a county hospital, that's your crazy self. But if I know you, I go to the best hospital in the world and let them kick me out.
Tracy, that's not true. Tracy, let me ask you one question. The movie that Denzel Washington did with Johnny Q, was it true?
It was based on a true story.
No, was it true? Tracy, was it true? Yes or no, was it true?
Johnny,
it was a movie. It was not a movie, Stanley. Movies aren't true.
Stanley, I said it was based on all the elements of John Q. were not correct, but it was based on a true story. I gave you the right answer.
But it was then filled
okay,
with
okay, so what was not based on the true thing? Is it not true that if you have, like he said,
the concept was true.
The concept was true.
The concept was true.
Didn't you hear
and
the right
told
you said if you don't have...
Yeah, but
ahead.
You think Obamacare is going to fix the problem now?
Hold on. But let me say this. Right now, if they don't want to treat you, they won't. Now it's going to be, you know, what's your medical care? What is your life expectancy? Sarah Palin talked about is real.
I got to get this out. A woman in my Sunday school class, her mother's 95 years old. She had an issue. She went into a local hospital. The doctor looked at this woman and says, don't you know your mother's 95 years old? Does she have a DNR?
Well, they ask you to walk in and over me.
But the thing is, so she said to her mother, she says, Mom, do you want a feeding tube? Mom says no. She says, Mom, do you want to be put on a ventilator? She said no. She looked at the old lady, looks at the doctor, just, but I don't want cut up in little pieces either.
But you have to understand.
But you got to understand what she was saying about the attitude of this doctor was, why are you wasting my time with this 95-year-old woman?
Listen, do you realize they ask you that
they
for
ask,
everyone?
Yeah, they ask
everyone walking
like,
your door. They ask me that.
They ask me that, too.
Crazy.
I get what you're trying. I guess I get what you're trying to say, but the fact is, the DNR part is irrelevant because they ask anyone
they
who is sick
about,
going
okay.
in.
But they said, point blank, we are going to give this woman a CT scan, and that's it. Period. We're not going to put another thing on.
That's not. But see, that was by choice.
She's 95
Tracy.
Years old.
That was by choice. When I say that, because
by whose choice?
Let me say this. They couldn't. They would have to resuscitate her. By law today, if she does not have a DNR, they would have to resuscitate
exactly.
her, put her on a vent by law today. Now, I can't speak for that after today, but today you have to do that.
But
Do you really want to
put
our elderly through all that? I remember when my grandmother was dying, and it got to the point where we was like, just do not do all this. And she wasn't even, she was probably 80-something years
old, but
she was bedridden.
But the problem is we're putting too much on age, because my brother-in-law's father is 90 years old. He's still fixing the garden.
I got to go. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends. We got to come out.
They should be able to live.
Stanley.
Hello.
I can't believe people are lying.
I can't believe
Jeff was wrong about Cuba. Cuba had one of the best medical systems in the world.
Well, it's my birthday, y'all. I got to get going. Y'all have a happy St. Patrick's Day.
You know who has the best eye care system in the world? India.
Yeah. And
you
I'm
get
going
a cataract,
to the
you can get a cataract lens. You get a lens replacement for like $30. And the quality is just as good as any place else in the Western world.
I'm sorry. Tracy should go see. There was a CNN thing talking about healthcare. Saying about the healthcare United States, they had a bunch of people that couldn't even get their healthcare, had no insurance, and the
United States ranks about number 36 in 2012.
Exactly.
I think.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? We're the number one. We're not the number one.
And if that's the case, why are black folks always complaining?
You know,
it had an article say even with equal insurance and so on, so on, so on, blacks still get inferior care. So why is that? Cuba has one of the best medical systems in the world. They even train doctors from all over the world. It's trained students from all over the world, including African Americans, for free to become medical doctors. And you have some that they come back to the States and practice in hospitals.
Yeah. Look at this. Life expectancy of USA. USA is 78. UK is 80. Infant mortality. USA is 6.7. UK is 4.8. Health spending per head, USA, $7,290. UK, $2,992. Public spending on health care, USA, 45%. UK, 82%.
Hey, Stanley, now do a population comparison. Do the population comparison, because if you got less people, you're going to have different statistics.
And let's like this dumb Negro president y'all got. Here he is talking about what the Ukrainians wanted don't mean nothing. I never will again vote for another black man as president.
I just don't understand what you're talking. No.
Is it Alabama? Alabama? No. Sorry.
Are you serious about not voting for another black man?
Yeah. I don't know why I let y'all talk me into that last time. Well, last time in 2008 and 2012 I did.
Well, I tried to explain it to folks about Obama, because I had been kind of following him, you know, for a while, and it wasn't because, you know, I found out about him trying to do some research on a thing that's affecting black Americans, and that is, you know, black liberation theology and how it's permeated into the political arena. But, you know, I found out about him, and I knew, man, you let this cat get in the office, and he has a whole different outlook on things. There is no compromise. You're going to do it the way I say it, and that's it. You know, and to couple that with coming out of Chicago and dealing with Chicago politics, it's kind of tough to deal with.
According to Obama's interpretation of international law, if that's the case, Ukraine shouldn't even exist. Kosovo
exactly. Shouldn't
exist. The Serbians never had opportunity to vote on that.
Yeah.
Kuwait shouldn't
Montenegro.
Exist.
Yep. So, you know,
what's
hey,
more
it's,
democratically
it's
than when you have people say, "We," you know what I would like to see? I would like to see Texas say, well, that's it, we're leaving.
Well, they've had some votes. Actually, Texas calls itself the Great Republic. So they consider themselves a republic anyway.
Here, the people came out, used their photo IDs and voted. and say they want to be a part of Russia. No, United States just want to have Ukraine, diminish Crimea, then try to remove the Russian Black Sea Fleet. Russia's not going to stand for that. And the thing about it is that U.S. generals have said, hell, they told you don't mess with Iran. They told you don't mess with Syria. So you know what the hell they're saying about Russia.
Yep.
You know what? It seems to me like most Americans in particular, the more broker Americans are, the bigger their balls get.
Well, one thing about the U.S. generals, the Army, they're not politicians. They just want commands. If you were asked them, do you think we should strike this target, the military say, yeah, we can strike it. You just give us the orders. They're not too much into
the
politics.
They don't say that. The generals said to leave Libya alone. Yeah, well, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to turn you off. Go ahead.
I know they give advice, Bianchi. I know they give feedback. But the final decision is more of a statesman. What I'm saying is, and if you listen to when Senator Curry was trying to strike, when Obama wanted to strike Syria before the chemical warfare, they were asking the general, they said, well, what do you think about it? He says, well, really, I really not get too political with the politics. If they want us to strike a target, we will strike a target. It's up to them because the military, they just shoot weapons. Now, you can get his feedback whether we're going to be successful, but the military, they can strike anything. If you're ready for us to go to war, we're ready to go to war. That's it.
Well, you know, one of the reasons why come I wouldn't hit my grandfather is because of two reasons. One, I couldn't run fast enough. Two, if he caught me, he was going to beat the shit out of me. So well, maybe that's the same type of logic that U.S. generals use.
And that's what I said, Bianchi. When I started reading the whole history of Americans, how the hell are we surprised of 9/11? I'm telling you, we should have had 10 times 9/11 for all the things we've done around the world, from the CIA to the nuclear weapon, nuclear bomb, to this, to that. How many times did we interfere and we did it wrong? From the Vietnam War that we did, that we bombed people, and we said we're going to keep on bombing you until you quit. Really?
Yeah, they never quit.
And they never quit. So what are you going to do now? How are you going to kill? You're going to kill more people? And I swear, if we had a way to see the number of innocent people that got killed by Americans, Americans wouldn't even believe it.
There's no U.S. interest in the Ukraine, the common American. Matter of fact, I haven't seen no interest since. All it is for U.S. corporations, businesses to have access to these markets.
Yes.
And the only way they can have access to the markets free and clear is by installing puppet governments, who presidents will serve. Then when they come out, they will find refuge in Santa Barbara, California, or New Haven, or one of these spots over here in the U.S. to live the rest of their years.
I vote for Santa Barbara. It's a lot nicer. I lived in New Haven once. So, hey, Bianchi, how you doing?
And that's true. You know, Mike, look at that Riggs Banks that used to be in Washington, D.C., Bush used to sit on the board.
Sure.
It was one of the money laundering banks where disposed leaders would deposit their country's money in.
Right, right, exactly. And
look at that Nigerian Abacha.
And the Federal Reserve opens these safe accounts that are safe from creditors that can't be sued because they're like trustee accounts. And under international trust law, you know, there's asset protection in trust. That's why the old ancient money can't be sued for or confiscated because it's in trusts. And that's what they do. Even in Iraq, as corrupt as they are,
when they freed up the food for money oil, which went to $236 billion or $237 billion accumulated in that account, all the war reparation creditors like Kuwait and everybody else that wanted money out of Iraq couldn't touch
it. You mean food for oil?
Yeah, the food for oil. What did I say? Food for
money.
Yeah, oh, food for, I'm sorry, yeah, food for oil. Well, I left out the step in the middle. It really was irrelevant. And then they converted it and put it into two bank accounts, one in Washington, D.C., and one up in New York State, run by the Federal Reserve, and they renamed it the development of something about the development of Iraq Fund or something, you know, the DIF or something, or DFI or whatever they called it. And that's where the money sits. And, of course, Maliki and all these corrupt politicians, they just petition the Federal Reserve when they want some of that money. And meanwhile, all the creditors in the world, France and everybody else, waiting to be compensated, they're all holding their hand on their butt waiting for Iraq to settle up with all these war reparations. It ain't happening. So about four years ago, they came to an agreement where they would settle for 20 cents on the dollar to get something. And then Iraq says, fine. And then Iraq has been paying them like $2 billion out of that money every 90 days. Toward all these people settling 20 cents on the dollar for the debt, and they still hold on to this big, huge pool of money, and they're still doing their corrupt little thing because it's a corrupt country. So, yeah. DFI. That's what it is, DFI. Yeah. Development Fund for Iraq. That's what it's called.
The Navy SEALs commandeered a oil tanker that was leaving Libya
mm-hmm.
on the high seas, the high seas in the Mediterranean.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, you got so many factions in Libya
mm-hmm.
that they have their own little tankers. They go fill them up and they go sell them on the market.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What the hell has the Navy SEALs got getting involved in that operation?
Because
if there's any instability that's going on in Libya,
mm-hmm.
well, guess who's the cause of it?
Oh yeah,
it was better with Gaddafi.
Yeah. Well, this is one of what you just arrived is one of my pet peeves when I hear people bash ethanol production in the United States from homegrown crops here. They're saying because the government, if you produce ethanol on a small scale, less than 15 million gallons a year, the government will give you a $1.01 per gallon production fee reimbursement from the Treasury, from the IRS, okay? And providing you're not using corn to make it, okay? You can use any other crop. There's like 41 crops that we've identified that you can make ethanol out of fairly easily and get yields comparable or greater than what you'd get from a bushel of corn, okay? And everybody's argument is, ethanol wouldn't work if it wasn't subsidized. Well, I want to know this. When was the last time the military was sent in to keep shipping lines open to protect our supply of ethanol? Gasoline in this country is subsidized to $5.50 a gallon when you look at all the perks the oil companies get. When we have a spill off the Gulf Coast, who cleans it up? That spill isn't there because of ethanol. It's there because of petroleum. If I spilled ethanol on the ground, that's no different than your uncle being so drunk he kicked over his beer. It's not an environmental pollutant. It's drinking alcohol, ethanol is. You could drink it.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that they denature it and poison it with gasoline and additives. But, you know, and so when I hear people say, well, ethanol wouldn't work unless it was federally subsidized. Oh, really? That $3,000 worth of equipment that you pay for called anti-pollution stuff, anti-smog stuff that's on your car every time you buy a new car, that's not there because you're burning ethanol. That's there because you're burning gasoline. And then
yeah, you're right.
All the increased insurance policy, all this emissions testing every 2 years in most states, some states it's 1 year. That $80, $90, $100 you pay to go get an emission test, it's not because you're burning ethanol. That's a hidden cost they pushed on to you because you're burning gasoline so they can make petroleum work. And then here's another one that people don't even recognize. Your car insurance, your collision insurance is through the roof because of the accident.
Gas tank.
Yeah, well, gas tanks, but not only that, Pianchi. As an engineer, you'll understand this. to meet the mileage standards, they've taken so much steel out of the car that they had to create crumple zones to absorb the energy to keep from killing you every time you have a fender bender.
Yeah.
And so what used to be a $300 pull out the dent and paint it is now a $4,000 or $5,000 replace the quarter panel.
Yeah, because in Merlin a couple of years ago, you're right, Mike, they raised it up here in Merlin for the collision coverage.
Exactly.
I called USAA. I'm with USAA.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, Merlin raised it up. I said, wow, the collision coverage.
Yeah.
They said,
what do you think about
that? I said, my goodness.
Because your bumper doesn't protect your car anymore. It protects the passenger compartment with energy-absorbing crumple zones where the frame gets bent and everything. There are more cars totaled now for accidents under 25 miles an hour than in the 50s when cars weighed a ton.
Exactly.
Well, you know what?
These fiberglass bumpers.
Back in the old day, Mike, I learned how to drive in a 52 Buick.
There you go.
And people used to hit each other and bounce around and keep on going.
Well, the Demolition Derby wasn't on Saturday nights at the arena. It was on the road every week. That was Demolition. Yeah, well, we had a 53 Cadillac, a Fleetwood, that my dad bought secondhand in 59. It had a burned-out engine. The guy who ran it never put oil in it. We bought it real cheap. And we noticed one day that the rear bumper bullets were double-ended bullets on the rear bumper, so they had a knob on each end. And we noticed just under the trunk lid there were these two little dimples right behind the bullet. So we knew the guy, and we asked him, what was that from? He said, oh, in 56, the thing was rear-ended by a 56 Chevy doing 40 miles an hour. He said they took the Chevy to the junkyard because the radiator was up against the steering wheel. They said, and all we did was take a 5-foot crowbar and pull the bullets away from the bumper, away from the bottom of the trunk lid. That's all the damage was. This is a 53 Caddy, you know? And a 56 Chevy was no lightweight vehicle either.
No, it wasn't.
But it hit so hard it totaled itself. It was a brand-new vehicle. The guy only had it on the road
Chevy.
Like a week. Yeah, and the Cadillac only needed, that. Like you said, at the auto body shop, they took a pry bar and just pulled the bullets away from the bottom of the trunk lid. That's all they did.
What do you think about this F-150 that's going to be an aluminum body? What kind of complications, what kind of repercussions are we going to have with that?
If it's aircraft-grade aluminum, it ought to be a pretty good deal because that's what the FedEx trucks and UPS trucks are made out of now. They're a combination of fiberglass and aircraft-grade aluminum, and so they're interchangeable parts, so they can keep a body on the road for 50 years by just putting a drivetrain in every 200,000 miles or 250,000 miles, you know? If it's cheap aluminum, as you know, aluminum is not like steel. Aluminum will continue to flex to the breaking point where steel will go to half strength, as I recall. Your standard 36 kip steel will flex, and drop to 18 kip over a period of time, whereas aluminum won't. Aluminum will go to zero. That's why they have to constantly monitor for fractures in these airplanes the wings on.
That's what Cadillac messed up when they had them the 2000s and the 2000 early 2000, 2001, 2003, DeVilles. Them Cadillacs was out of aluminum.
Right. Well, here's the other
aluminum
problem.
Engine.
They better undercoat them, or they better put some type of a powder-coated finish on them or something, because raw aluminum is highly reactive to salt. Up in the Northeast, we all know that if you're salting your steps, don't throw salt onto your aluminum storm door if it's not painted. It'll eat the aluminum. It'll pit it.
Well, don't have aluminum hitting steel. Don't have steel hitting aluminum. I mean, it's great, but aluminum go to space, right?
Yeah,
right.
You'll get the galvanic response and start seeing the green there, where you literally plate away the aluminum. Yeah.
Yeah. So they messed up on that series of Cadillac.
Yeah. So unless it's aircraft grade aluminum and it is protected somehow or another against, corrosion, I don't know what to think about it. Time will tell.
Well, the United States is so screwed up that the only alternative is just completely pull in all the hot pieces and start all over.
Yep. Buy yourself a powdered wig, call yourself George Washington, and I'll vote for you. We'll start all over.
Why everybody want everything to collapse? I mean, what I've been hearing a lot of people just think is everything's going to collapse. They're just waiting for it so we can start all back over.
Well, there'll be an economic collapse, which will lead to either social unrest or social readjustment, and we're going to be back to what, once people finally realize that the government can't do for you. People keep forgetting one important thing, and it came up on the show today, but nobody followed up on it. 10 years ago, when England pushed the tax rate to 85%, I can give you names of friends of mine who moved to Belgium. This one guy I know had an apartment, a flat. He could look out his window and see Buckingham Palace. That's where he was. That would be the equivalent of being across the street from the White House here. So you know it's a good piece of real estate. He sold it at a discount price and moved to Belgium because he wasn't going to pay 85% tax. He was making $2-3 million a year in his legal practice, international law, and he just moved his whole practice and everything to Belgium, and he lives in Belgium very nicely.
Right.
You know,
I think France got like seven.
Affordable. People
don't
know.
I think France got like a 75% tax rate.
Well, they just raised it up there, and they're waiting to see what it does, you know. But you know, and
is that about the most stupidest damn thing you ever heard of?
Well, if you do the math, see, here's what the average low information person doesn't understand. They see the Forbes list, and they see Bill Gates is worth $65 billion. That's what he's worth. That's not his annual cash flow. That's what he's accumulated through smart investing and profits for the last 35, 40 years that Microsoft has been out there. That's what So even if you tax him at 100% of earnings, you're not going to get $65 billion a year from him. You're only going to get $2-4 billion.
Facebook owner, hold on. Facebook owner, he made $5 billion. He only paid $1 billion out of his personal income taxes. He put $4 billion home.
Yep.
Bill Gates gets paid billions of dollars each year in his personal
account.
I know he's not
$54 billion
a year, but he gets billions of dollars each year.
That's, but you're making my point. People think that
because
I hear people say, well, if you tax the rich, then you can get $1 trillion. You're not going to get $1 trillion even at 100%. All the
Forbes 400 don't make
a trillion a year.
Right.
They
that's
make
why
about
we're in the debt.
$200 billion total.
Right.
Well, you just proved they make about 20%.
Well, here's what you're talking about, Mike. And this is what I had to try to explain to some folks. If Mitt Romney made $20 million last year,
yeah,
they taxed that money for the $20 million in income that he made.
Yeah.
If he takes whatever's left after they tax him, say $15 million, and put that in the bank, next year, and if he sits on his butt and do nothing, they can only tax him on the interest that his money has accumulated.
Even though he's filthy rich,
he's not going to income.
Well, that's what people don't understand, the difference between net worth and income. It's an income tax. It's not a percentage of your total worth every year. And people don't understand that. And that's why you look at what someone's worth. Even if you tax them 100%, you're not getting all that money. You're only going to get a high percentage of what they earn with that money. And if you piss them off enough, that money is portable. Money has legs. It could go offshore. He could invest it in India or some other emerging country, and we'd get nothing then. And that is following the tax laws that your congressman, whether you're on the right or left, approved and voted for. So you can't bitch saying, well, these are tax loopholes. No, these aren't tax loopholes. These are people just simply taking advantage of what the government told them they have to do, the rules they have to play by.
And rightfully so, Mike. They have paid taxes on that money already.
Yeah, exactly. And to constantly compound taxes, this is not compounding taxes and compounding interest. First of all, we all pay, every one of us, including the rich. We all pay about 2/3 of our check, our income. I don't care even if you're on welfare. You pay 2/3 of your annual income in taxes because everything you buy is compound taxed. You buy a car.
You know what?
That car is 2/3 taxes because everybody who touched it during the value-added manufacturing process made a profit and got taxed on that profit. And pass back
well,
cost
on,
on to the
hold
next
on. Right, but after that profit, hold up, bro. See, I've been in banking.
Yeah.
Listen, if I made $5 billion and I put it in a no interest regular checking account, no interest burning.
Yeah.
and after my taxes, that is mine forever. The government cannot touch me. They cannot tax me on the money. But if I take that $5 billion and I put CDs and stuff, of course they're going to tax me.
They're going to tax
that.
The profit.
Once I bring
of course,
my money
no
home, it's
that.
Mine.
There's no problem
right,
with
mine.
That. But what I'm right. saying is you're already taxed. When you go to spend your money as a poor person, you pay your rent. You're paying the landlord's property tax because he can't pass that on. So you're paying that tax. When you buy something and pay an 8% sales tax, you're paying that tax. Everybody knows about that. But what they don't understand is if you buy something made out of steel, you're paying 6 or 7 taxes on that because you're paying the income tax that everybody along through the process. When a man leases his land that has coal on it or iron ore, he gets an annual revenue. That's taxed as his income. That's part of the cost of steel. He ain't letting you take a ton of coal off his property when he's stuck with a $20 tax bill because of that ton of coal you took off his property. You're paying that. When that goes to the
what
steel
do you think
plant,
about the flat tax, Mike? What do you think about
think,
the flat tax?
I think the flat tax, I here's what I'd really
I mean, from
say.
Everything, from local all the way up to the federal government, just a local flat tax.
Instead of a flat tax, here's the problem with a flat tax, okay, because they can keep inching it up by 0.25%.
Right, they raise the rate.
Yeah. I think what we should have is a national sales tax. There's no tax on any income for a corporation or you or anybody. And if you're manufacturing a product here that's going to be exported, the only stuff that gets taxed is what gets purchased here. And I've seen numbers on this. You take a $1,300 computer, and it would hit the retail store at $800. So even if they put a 23% federal sales tax, it would only bring the price of that computer up to about like $980. It would still be $300 cheaper than the way we do it now because that computer has been taxed 15 times before it got on the store shelf because everybody who put a part in there got taxed on their profits for making
the
part.
Yeah, too many middlemen. Right,
yeah.
Too many middlemen.
So if they go to a national sales tax, first of all, it would be real easy to collect because you won't need an accountant anymore. Your taxes are being paid by just your purchases. And, of course, we already have a sales tax system in the United States because the states and everybody else already has that mechanism. If you're in business, you have a tax number. That money is automatically being collected. So we would eliminate 95% of what the IRS does. There would be no more of these audits and you saving every receipt. You realize that if a business paid no taxes, do you realize – oh, the only reason they would keep costing and bookkeeping going so they could make sure that they're still manufacturing cheaply, that they're watching their numbers to make sure they didn't let expenses get out of hand. Other than that, there'd be no reason to do any bookkeeping anymore or anything. I mean, it'd suck for H&R Block, but it'd be great for the rest of us if we just went to a national sales tax, and they've proven this and they've run the numbers and it just comes out everything's
well changed. I don't think Texas would be happy with that. What do you think Texas might say about that?
If you could show well Texas I find are fairly reasonable people, and if you can actually show them indisputable proof through the numbers, not rhetoric, not bumper stickers, not a tax on the floor of the state legislature, but real numbers, that if you eliminated all of the hidden costs through the manufacturing process, cars would drop. The average car would drop by 30-40% in price.
Hell, Nevada don't have no tax on income. I have a business in Nevada.
Yeah, I do too. I
a lot of other states don't have no.
Exactly.
Florida, I think, but Nevada, you don't pay no income tax in Nevada.
That's right. And if they went to a federal level, no income tax. And you were just free to spend your money the way you see fit and just went to a national
sales tax. Yeah, I think
it's
Connecticut, Texas, Nevada, Florida.
Yeah. Here's,
and another state, I think.
Here's where national sales tax would be very fair. Pay more tax.
That's
poor
right.
People would buy subsistence items. You know, they'd buy a shirt for $5 and they'd get charged $1.40 tax. It would still be less than the $8.95 they pay now plus sales tax. You know? It would work for everybody. And the poor, they would simply get a tax rebate, or they'd carry a card saying they're exempt of tax.
Well,
exempt of the federal and see that would eliminate right there.
Down, what are y'all going to do with y'all millions? I mean, what are we going to do with all the people with stuff in the bank if the economic system shut down? When we start over, how are you going to make sure that you get at least something or work?
Anybody with sense don't have no money left here anyway.
Yeah. The problem is, since it's all digital money and none of it is in the bank anyway, you know that, Mike, from being in banking. There's, you know, it took a major fight globally to get the World Bank and to get Basel III standards in place from Basel, Switzerland, which means banks now have to have 5% of their posted assets on cash on hand. It took a big fight because your big banks in the United States, because of fractional banking and everything, had less than 1.5% available cash. So now most banks have become Basel III compliant, so at least if they claim they have $1 billion in assets, they got $50 million in cash in the bank, you know? Because it's all digital money. I don't know anybody in their right mind who has anything above the FDIC insured. And, of course, there's CDAR accounts that you can do where your bank will open up 10 or 15 accounts for you at different branches, and then you're covered by the $250,000 FDIC.
What's caused so much is this federal government. Just look at a state that's Alaska, for instance, that turns balanced budgets in all the time. Mm-hmm. If you live in Alaska or even a Nevada that turns in a balanced budget, mm-hmm. they don't have an income tax. Mm-hmm. Now, if you were to take Nevada and separate it from the other 49 states, 48 here on this continent, mm-hmm. it would still exist. It may have to make a few adjustments, mm-hmm. but it probably still exists without even having an income tax.
Right.
The way it's taxed now is paying its National Guard, which is its army and military. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have a Coast Guard because it's landlocked. It may have one on the rivers. But like you say, this thing where we're paying all this money we're paying for the survival of this federal government, it's totally, it has to come to an end one of these days.
It does, and especially when you consider that in real value to the citizen, you and a fellow citizen, every dollar that gets sucked by the big vacuum in Washington, only 30 cents on that dollar comes back out of the vacuum bag.
Hey, Mike.
So when they give you $1 billion for a project in your state, it means they took over $3 billion from everybody else, so your state could get one of those kickbacks or sweetheart deals or pork barrel deals, like what's in health care.
You go to a structure like that, and you will effectively change the political arena in America. I mean, politicians, they wouldn't have anything to bargain with anymore.
No, there wouldn't be. You could get rid of all the friggin' lobbyists and everything because there'd be no laws. There'd be no tax law. The law is the 23%, and that's what most of them peg it on. 23% national sales tax is cheaper than the multiple compounding of tax on profit every step through the manufacturing process. Like I say, I've seen numbers that show that automobiles are almost 60-65% tax, and they can manufacture them for next to nothing if they get rid of corporate tax along the process.
Well, if you follow any amount of money along the way, it just disappears in taxes.
Yeah.
If I pay you $100, I got to tax you. If you go out and spend, it got to be taxed. And that person who received it, they got to go out and spend it, just taxes itself completely into oblivion.
What's this? Oh, my corned beef. All right. You guys like corned beef?
I got to get some of that for my grandson today.
Yeah, corned beef and cabbage. There's nothing like it.
Corned beef and cabbage.
I know.
Cornbread, candy yams.
I have an Irish Catholic wife who had a Jewish father, so she knows how to shop for this stuff, and it's delicious.
Well, don't you think it would turn every business into a wholesaler?
Just about.
I mean, think about it. It would turn every business into a wholesaler.
Well, I haven't looked at it that closely, but I have to go by your words.
Yeah, and I'm saying, wouldn't it turn all businesses into a wholesaler?
Because you
would take away all those layers of taxes. So you're talking about 30% here, 30% there. You know, it would reduce the price on things, you know.
Well, when you sold to true OEM accounts, you would give them a wholesale price because they're buying bulk, but when the general public walked in and bought one off the shelf, you still have an overhead, so you would obviously, you'd have multiple columns, and depending upon your volume, what column are you buying from, just like they do now. Are you retail? Are you 10% off? Are you 50 and 10? You know, that's just standard.
Well, I just don't understand it. You know, you got old man in here talking in the chat room, and we just fixed the nation's damn economic problems, and they won't listen to us.
That's because you didn't bring $100 million to somebody's campaign last election.
Well, you see, I just want to say, if a lot of business owners was like, and I don't know if you seen the 60-minute interview with the Amazon owner, CEO and founder and owner of Amazon, he says, listen, he takes the smallest profit margin he can possibly get, and he said he can easily raise up on prices, $1 billion company. But he says he tries to keep his employees happy, and he just tries to stay on the bottom of the business. His profit margin could be higher, but he keeps it as small just to keep everyone happy. Now,
well, his profit margin could be higher. Yeah, but his profit margin could be higher compared to traditional business. But then again, he's a digital business, and nobody has really written the rule books on what the appropriate margins are
on
digital business.
Right.
Because
he still has employees, he still has warehouses, and he still is on an operation. And I'm just saying,
but there's nothing in
him being the largest business,
buy it.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, he can change his prices just like that, and people are still going to use his business.
Amazon has a good business, too. I use them all the time.
Right. But that's just what his philosophy is. I mean, different business owners have different philosophies of things. So,
yeah,
I don't know. It's just everybody needs to get together. I haven't said this. I'm still it's a big pot of money out there, and I'm going to get me some of it. So,
As long as I don't spend too much time on this line talking to you guys, time to actually go make a fortune.
No, I had to talk, man. I was in this program, man, and I deleted this argument from this method and on my screen. See, computers are so tedious. It can be having a problem, and you can just cut it on, cut it back off, everything. I was working with this method, and this argument I deleted. It was deleted on the screen, but the computer was still running, and I had to go and paste it. I was dealing with that for a whole hour, man, just on that whole thing. But I feel better. I got it accomplished, so. I got something accomplished today. But, I haven't said that, man. It's a big pot of money out here. She's still got to make it. So I hope it don't collapse until I get,
You get your fair share.
I get guys.
This is why I go to work every day, Mike, because here's the bottom
first
line. I do know this much about our society. If it were to totally collapse, you got to be as high up in the food chain so you land on somebody. You're not everybody landing on you. So the people that want to stay poor and stay at the bottom, and the people who want to stay lazy doing drugs and all that, when the society collapses, they're going to have 15 people standing on their shoulders that are going to try to stay out of the swamp. So, because they won't let the middle class disappear. They will put things in place that will keep the middle class standing on somebody. Because they've proven that with the Great Depression and everything else. By helping the poor, you support the middle class.
Yeah, I know. But sometimes these
guess
same
how much
people
a prosthesis.
Pardon?
Guess how much a prosthesis for a foot costs in India compared to America? Same quality, if not better. In America, it's $8,000. In India, it's $30. $30
to
$40.
Wow.
Things cost too much here, Mike.
Yeah.
That's the big problem.
And a lot of it is because we won't get tort reform. A lot of the cost of medical goods is because you've got to have killer insurance policies. I know a syndicate of doctors, I think there's 300 of them in the syndicate now, who work directly for hospitals. They gave up their practices. And if the hospital reimburses them for their malpractice, they don't buy malpractice insurance. They took that money and put it offshore and started their own insurance company. And they put mid nine figure money into that account every year, and they don't pay out mid six figure money. and they underwrite themselves for malpractice. They basically just got their own tort reform.
That's the way to do it. Rather than getting insurance policies for your automobile, just get a bond.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then take your what you would pay in insurance premiums every month, put that away.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what a lot of corporations do. If you have a fleet of vehicles, you become self-insured. You just take all those premiums, put them aside, and if you're blessed to not have accidents, then you don't need the money. And if the money's running out, then you go buy insurance anyway until you can rebuild up that fund again and try it one more time, you know?
They do the same thing,
though, right? Isn't that a hell of a risk? I mean, I know you. That's a risk not having insurance, isn't
it? It's a whole lot cheaper. They do a construction project. Like, if you have a real large project, like a stadium, they have OCI. They have an OCI clause, the owner insurance control. I think that's what the C stands. And we take out the insurance. We take out the workers' comp, and we take out any general liability for the job and give them a price. And then they have a one blanket policy that cover all the workers on the job.
Right.
And apparently it's cheaper.
Yep. One fixed rate.
Money is money.
Owner controls OCI. Owner control insurance is what it was.
Yep, controlled insurance, yeah.
We might have to buy get an umbrella on our liability, like $1 or $2 million umbrella.
Yeah. Well, we did the same thing in my company. You know, those little pissy-ass injuries on the job where somebody goes to an emergency room. It was cheaper to just pay the $200 emergency room bill for one of my employees than it was to get first dollar coverage, where if you want to cover the last 500 in a policy, it was costing you $1,250 a year to have last dollar coverage for that 500.
Yeah. Yeah, because some companies, instead of, like, you get a workers' comp, they'll take you to these little clinics now, like, Centra, or something like that, these little clinics, and they do it like that. And they have a contract with them.
Yeah.
Instead of going to a big emergency room and all that type of stuff to cut the bill down.
But, you know, you talk about the Western countries. That's why come African is so difficult for it to get going. And one culprit is that France, when Africa's countries, when French colonies became independent, well, they came up with a monetary system called a CFA pact, whereas 65 cents of every dollar has to be deposited into the French treasury. The country pays a 20 cents liability, and they keep 15% in the economy. How the hell are the country supposed to survive? Then you never know what they got.
Right.
Then if there's inflation, then they devalue the currency where it takes more dollars to buy the same item, loaf of bread.
Their economic policies also in the African nations do not make Western investors warm and fuzzy, since most of those governments are being advised by or in key position have French expatriates who love sticking it to U.S. companies. I've dealt in Africa. And I was warned. As a matter of fact, when I got my first contract proposal to go over there and start shipping building materials for low-cost housing, I was contacted unsolicited by our own United Nations, and our ambassador to the United Nations spent 4 hours on the phone one day warning me about how to get my contracts written and everything else so I could possibly get my money with irrevocable letters of credit drawn on the Chase Bank in New York, not some bank in Africa where the French are in control of it. Otherwise, you'll never get your money, I was told. It makes it really hard to
do business. Because the French tax so high?
No, because the French are so corrupt that they will just simply tell you, we're not paying you, and the only way you could sue them is in their own country, in their own legal system that they're in control of.
Every time you wire money over there by Western Union, they tax it 10%, the French government does. On top of what Western Union charges.
Yeah.
Well, they're taxing their rich 75%.
You're talking about Western Union.
Well, yeah, but I was just talking about the government, the French government. they got high taxes over too.
So if you wanted to wire money back to your mother, you would have to pay the Western Union fee, which is about $5 on 100.
Yep.
Then you have to pay the French government another 10%. Which is totally, I mean, it's just totally deplorable the way. That's what come out, and you know, this stuff needs to come to an end.
Yeah.
Needs to come to an end. The military,
that
you don't need no
money.
Military, you got military bases, U.S. bases all over the damn place.
Well, we may
it's not
need
protecting
it all
me
over
and
the
Mike's
place.
Interest. It's protecting somebody. It's protecting the Exxon's interest. It's protecting them damn Rockefeller's interest.
Mm-hmm.
They got this idea of having one world bank. Can you imagine having a one world bank and then being able to use this fractional banking all over the damn place? And I don't care what nobody say that you can only do them nine so many times, soon or later it's going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
No, they don't believe that. It's infinite when you can use somebody else's money.
Yeah.
Infinite nines do not exist. It comes to it and it hits a wall someplace.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Well, They don't believe it.
It's just like breathing. When you take one breath and exhale, you got
to
take it out.
I know y'all saying all this shit, man. I'm trying to get some money, though. Having said all this, this is big, it's big money out here, though. That's all I got to say.
Hey, Bianchi, let me ask you this.
Y'all got to get some shit.
I had thought about something at one point in time. What is the feasibility of building houses out of steel? I mean, actual.
Well, you can. You can use gauge steel. They do that for the interior wall studs and all that. The insurance would
be
a whole lot less.
What would be the disadvantages to do that?
Well, overall, the insurance would be less because it's fireproof. Then drywall fireproof.
Yeah.
You don't have no wooden studs to burn up.
Yeah. Hey, South Carolina, right
up
near your neck of the woods up on 95, there's a company up there, Tucker, and they're a wholesaler. And I have their catalog, and it is for structural load-bearing, light-gauge, like Bianchi say, and steel wall studs, floor joists, roof truss and everything else, all made out of light gauge steel, and you just basically take OSB board or some type of fiber board and screw it to the frame and come in with urethane, and after you get your wiring, you know, just blow in the urethane and then hang your boxes and plumbing inside the wall. It's all fireproof.
Well, it'd be better to use fiberglass. You don't want to use urethane. Urethane is catch on fire, it's poison. But the only thing with your wiring, you have to have armored cable wires.
Yeah, you have to flex. But what I've seen is, you know, because I worked as a commercial electrician, you know, it's very, with the steel frame, you know, the interior walls and everything, you can do whatever you want it to. You can make it look
exterior
like
walls can be, exterior walls can be steel light gauge, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
They're more like a closed, they're not just three-sided like an interior stud would be, and the return, they're a heavier gauge. You're probably dealing with at least 16 or 18 gauge steel from the looks of it, and whereas your interior studs are made like with a 24 gauge, I think.
Yeah, they're lighter.
So actually, what the cost on a let's say a 1,200 square foot metal building is way cheaper than a 1,200 square foot stick-built building, a house. If you didn't really care about what it looked like on the outside, you could do inexpensively a very nice house on the inside that didn't, you know, have much of an exterior on the outside.
Well, no. You could still hang vinyl siding on it. Nobody would know that it was steel structure. Now,
I mean,
you're talking about putting a steel skin on the outside, But they make some really attractive steel exteriors now that until you get right up and touch them, you don't know they're steel.
Yeah, but most of these houses is like, you know, I guess, how would you say, ice cream sticks or something. They're real thin. They pick, I mean, they build them so quick. You don't want to be in the the Three Little Pigs store, I guess.
Actually, Mike, out in the Pacific for hurricanes? They got a typhoon.
Oh.
When they studied steel structure, because I used to be with ARCO's Building Products Division. When we studied steel structure, we had a product called Wall Frame, which was steel impregnated styrofoam panels. When a typhoon back in the 80s ripped through the Pacific, the only thing left standing on one island were our buildings, and they weren't even completed yet, and they were still standing because the steel.
I heard that name ARCO in a long time.
Pardon?
Oh yeah,
I haven't heard that name ARCO in a long time.
Well,
yeah, and Tucker's up in Maryland too.
Yeah, yeah. Steel structures flex; they're stronger. You know, and it all depends how you anchor them down. And if you don't anchor them down, I've seen wooden houses moved off their foundation up north because somebody forgot to put the nuts on the anchor bolt.
But you know what? I'm going to build my next house.
Yeah,
is going to be a monolithic dome.
Well, when you're ready, let me know, because we used to do that. I'll talk to you about it and tell you everything
we learned. I'm talking about the one that used the aeroform.
Yep.
You blow it up. Those things are very, very highly efficient, neat.
Yep. Yep. We used to do them out of urethane. We used to do them out of urethane over the big balloon bag and then for the insulation. Then we'd put on the attached mason's lath, and then we'd blow on stucco with the same pumping equipment on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch of them up in Radford, Virginia, up in the mountains and stuff that have been up there.
Now, you blow
years.
Your urethane on the outside or the inside? Most of them do it on the inside.
We blew it on the outside of the balloon to give us our first shape, and then we began to lay the wire into it and stuff. We experimented with it, Bianchi. What we did was we also then put chicken wire, and then sprayed the urethane and the stucco into the chicken wire, and that formed a hell of a bond and something really strong. I mean, we had incredible load numbers and wind numbers, and I mean it was just phenomenal. You were more apt to hit it with a bulldozer and push it across the ground than you were to wreck it.
Oh yeah, you ain't gonna wreck it. You know, now they blow up the farm, the aerofoam, then they spray the styrofoam.
Yeah.
On the inside, put in the rebar, then spray shotcrete. Then they'll coat the outside, that membrane, with something that's protected from the ultraviolet rays of the sun.
Yeah.
But I have seen them spray the outside with shotcrete, too, like you were talking about. Chicken wire in order to act like the mesh.
Yeah, yeah. You'd use it as your reinforcement.
And what did you do on the interior in a case like that?
When the foam was on the inside, we even found...
Because you got the membrane. Sprayed the foam on the membrane, then came with the stuccrete?
Yeah.
On the outside.
On the outside, but on the inside, where we were raw urethane, we had several ways of handling that. One was we put in wire chases, which were nothing more than light gauge tubes of some kind, so we could run all our wires where we needed them. The other thing is right to the foam, right to the urethane foam, and we used pound and a half density urethane. We were able to literally trowel on joint compound right to it. We would paint it with a primer and put joint compound and trowel the joint compound right on, or blow the joint compound right onto it, or do stucco on the inside also.
Mm.
Like I say, we even came up where we had a mold where we could make hemispheres that were 16 feet in diameter. And what we did was we made loons, you know, half a loon, like an orange slice. And we had those pre-molded in wedges like that we literally just stood them side by side by side by side and just used Japanese to hold them together. They had the wire chases molded in them and everything else. They had the steel bent and everything else. And after that, all we did was we attached mason's wire to the steel with mechanical fasteners on the inside and the outside. And on the inside, they got plaster, and on the outside, they got stucco.
Well, you know, there's some down. I've seen some churches.
Yeah.
That's up like 300 feet diameter. That's monolithic.
All right, guys. I'm about to guys. You guys are using lingo I don't know. Nice. I'm gonna listen to you guys, but
300 foot diameter, man. That's a heck of a building.
Y'all want all this money to stop. It's not gonna stop till I get some. So until next time, guys.
And that's my prayer that you, Pianki, and I, we all get our share, and then the hell with everyone else.
Well, that's about the way you have to do, man, because you can't depend on the things that are going on nowadays. It's just totally and completely out of control.
Right, right. No, I understand. But
and you can only have so many poor folks.
Yeah.
Then sooner or later they're going to get to the point of attitude that, it's going to be one of those things.
Yeah, it is. It's not going to be pretty.
But I'd rather see damn things just And, of course, I'm crazy to be saying this. But I think things need to just start all over. Because there's no fixing. Just kicking things down the road, that's basically what they're doing, is kicking things down the road. You can only do that so far. Hell, roads come to an end.
Yeah. Yeah, we need
talking about $15 an hour minimum wage. Well, never 50 years what you're going to be asking for.
Yeah, yeah. It does kind of spit in the face of the people who then went to college and who were working for $18 an hour and have $80,000-$90,000 worth of school loans to pay back.
Oh, absolutely. If you're talking about $15 an hour minimum wage, well, you know damn well prices are not going to go back down.
No.
Where all of a sudden that $15 an hour minimum wage would make you put you in the middle class, upper middle class.
Yeah, we're
so
going to give some of it back.
Right. So another 20 years, they're going to be asked for another $30 an hour minimum wage.
Yeah, yeah.
The system can't stand that.
And what's crazy about it, in 25 years, that $30 an hour minimum wage still hasn't changed anything. Because you know what? Today, what I ripped through in a month, just through normal living expenses, 40 years ago, was an annual income. And it was a damn good annual income. And today, it's just a month. You know?
I remember... way back when $6,000 a year, that was a good income.
You bet it was. You were, and usually people making $6,000 a year back then either were tradespeople who worked literally day and night, or they were salaried executives and they got their $120 a week paycheck.
Yeah, $2.20 an hour.
Yeah, exactly. My first job, my take home was about $64 a week. My first job for
that's what mine was.
For 37 and a half hours.
Yep, I worked 40 hours, $64. When I cashed my check, I got $64.
Yep.
I would take a 20 and 44 ones and wrap that 20 around and show them to my friends.
I was paid $2.35 an hour on the clock. And because I was in the printing trade, time and a half was anything over 37 and a half hours because they didn't pay you for your half-hour lunch and they ran three shifts a day, so you couldn't get 8 hours pay in a day. So full-time was 37 and a half for the five-day week.
Mm-hmm.
When they brought you in for overtime, they either brought you in a half a shift early or a half a shift later you could stay over, but they never booked you for a double back-to-back because they didn't think you could be around the machinery that long safely. And we were union. I belonged to three unions because of the nature of the job, even though I was low man on the totem pole. I touched paper. I had to belong to paper handlers. That paper was on a printing press. I had to belong to the print trade. And then because they went on to pallets and got moved from there out to the loading dock with a little jitney, I had to belong to the dock workers union. Okay? That's a one paycheck a month went to union dues, just about.
Hmm.
And I was the low guy on the totem pole. But your birthday was off with pay. Sundays was double time. Saturdays was double time. Those half shifts were time and a half. And in July...
Hold up. Hey, Mike, hold up for a minute. Hold up, Mike. Mike, you said one show and you got cut off. You said you was talking to your boss one day and you was asking what's the secret of making money. You got cut off. Can you repeat that conversation? I think we got 3 more minutes left.
Yeah, I can. Pianki will agree. Pianki, do you mind if I just tell Mike what my boss said?
Go ahead.
Okay. Like I said, I was in my late 20s. I was like 27, 28 years old. I was still trying to figure out how to make a million.
You got 2 more minutes left, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, and he was worth $80 million. That was the rumor. So I just came right out and asked him one day.
and his name was Bothwell, his last name, down in Texas. And I asked him, Mr. Bothwell, they say you're worth $80 million. He said, yeah, they do. And I said, may I ask you, how did you make $80 million? And he just laughed and said, do you really want to know the secret? And I said, yeah. And he kept baiting me. Do you really, really want to know? Said, yes, sir. And he had a great sense of humor. He just pulled me, bear hug, pulled me right to his nose and said, here's the secret. I earned my living from 9 to 5, and I made my fortune from 5 to midnight. That's the secret. These people who think you're going to make it on 40 hours, they're smoking something, he said. That's what he told me.
Yeah, well, he's about true.
Of course that.
And that's why when I hear people can't make it, and I get shouted down by Stanley, and I'm a no good I'm a Nazi and whatever else. Nobody says.
Well, you have your moments. You have your moments, like we all do.
Yeah.
But it's nice talking to you. I mean, other than politics and stuff. See, when you talk about ourselves and get away from that politics and stuff,
amen,
we become genuine. When it's not all that. If we were all meeting each other, we wouldn't be yelling at each other.
No, we wouldn't.
Sometimes that politics, it is what it is. You
I
know,
stay out of political discussions in my private life. I don't.
We should all learn from each other. No matter how much we are, we should all learn from each other.